but I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and less. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, hearings held by the Senate Armed Services Committee featured testimony from Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Peter Pace. Gates said the first phase of the President's Iraq War Plan will start early next month. The new chairman of the committee, Senator Carl Levin, said the troop increase in Iraq is a flawed strategy and a grave mistake. He also said a political solution is needed among the Iraqis. Republican Senator, meantime, John McCain, defended the president's plan as necessary. He added that it would give the Americans and Iraqis, quote, the best chance of success. President Bush had telephone conversations with the King of Jordan and the President of Egypt today. They all discussed Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's upcoming trip to the Middle East. She'll spend a week there, plans to visit several countries, including Israel, Jordan, Egypt, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. She'll also go to the West Bank. Next week, President Bush will meet with the new Secretary General of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, at the White House. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani will travel to Damascus to hold talks with Syria's President Bashar al-Assad this weekend. It's the first time in three decades that an Iraqi president will go to Syria for discussions. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton will travel to Iraq this weekend with two other lawmakers to meet with top Iraqi and U.S. military officials. They'll also make a visit to Afghanistan. The U.S. Embassy in Athens was hit early today by a rocket fired from across the street. Greek authorities say the attack probably came from a domestic terrorist group. No one was injured. The U.S. ambassador said there was minimal damage there. The Homeland Security Department will begin unmanned surveillance aircraft patrols of the Canadian border. The Predators will patrol the airspace day and night, starting this fall, checking for potential terrorists. The Washington Post reports today that a small group of U.S. military personnel went into southern Somalia following Monday's U.S. airstrike on suspected al-Qaeda targets. They went in to determine who was killed there. The trial for suspected al-Qaeda member Jose Padilla will be delayed by 3 months. That delay will allow more time for him to complete a mental competency test. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Just ahead, a look at science and business news. Now this.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The House of Representatives passed legislation today that would require the federal government to negotiate with the drug manufacturers to provide lower prices for Medicare patients. President Bush has threatened to veto that bill. It turns out retailers did have a good holiday season after all. The Commerce Department reports that December retail sales were up 0.9%. That's the biggest increase since July and more than economists had initially forecast. A market research group reports that video game sales in the U.S. set a record last year, $12.5 billion spent on software, hardware, and accessories. Sharp announced it'll construct a $66 million factory in Mexico and renovate another in Osaka. The Japanese electronics company says it plans to dramatically boost its production of LCD television sets. The Wall Street Journal reports federal authorities are looking into the falsified documents involving Apple CEO Steve Jobs' backdated stock options grant. OPEC ministers deciding whether to hold an emergency meeting to respond to the drop in oil prices, which are currently at 19-month lows. In trading today, oil below the $52 a barrel mark. Currently, light sweet crude trading at $52.99 a barrel. Another record setter for Wall Street today. At today's close, the Dow up 41 points at 12,556. NASDAQ up 18. The S&P 500 up 7. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Friday edition here on this side of the planet of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And my apologies for last night. I had fully planned to be on the air, and the phone rang, and they said, get over here. So off I went to the hospital. I'm sure you're all tired of hearing about that by now. But it is what it is, and I'll give you a little, I don't know when or how this is going to work out. Looks like the show is going to go on the road again sometime in the fairly near future. It has taken Herculean efforts, but the ambulance company, who apparently has people who specialize in getting insurance companies to pay for ambulance rides, says that they think they can get my father an ambulance ride from here to his home in Alabama, where he may hopefully where he will, if there is any grace and dignity to this entire sad, sorry process, get to die in his own bed. Jesus, did I just say that? But I will be the hospice caregiver there, and I will do my show from there. And since we've got finally got all the bugs worked out, it shouldn't be much of a problem. Agnes will remain here, as will the kids. And everything should be fairly close to normal, God willing. So that's where, you know, that's where things stand at the moment. And I don't know when it's going to happen. Waiting on word from the ambulance company. It could be tomorrow. It could be a week from tomorrow. I simply don't know. And that makes things a little dicey. But I've been, you know, spending my nights at the hospital, and I will be there again tonight. And like I said, it is what it is. I hated to miss last night simply because it was the aftermath of Dear Leader's speech to the nation. Will Bunch over at Attitude, Attitood, a Philadelphia writer, noted that Dear Leader, bless his pointy little head, can't even go do a major policy speech without ripping off somebody else. And he pointed it out at Attitude. Just Google it. You'll go there. Pointed it out line by line. This was a ripoff of Lyndon Baines Johnson's excuse for escalating the war in Vietnam. How pathetic. Or I don't know, to paraphrase Rachel Ray, who is becoming ubiquitous in American media, how pathetic is that? Eesh. So yesterday was weird. I got home from the hospital about noon, and all day long, fighter jets flew over the house. Generally, that doesn't happen unless something rotten is going to... Because, once upon a time, when the world was young and dinosaurs roamed the earth and I lived in Atlanta, I had an apartment that, little did I know when I rented it, was right in the glide path of Dobbins Air Force Base. Dobbins? Is it Dobbins? Robbins? Dobbins? Dobbins, I think. Dobbins Air Force Base out near Mayreta. You got to say it that way, Mayreta. Go to the Big Chicken and turn left. I was working a night shift at CNN, and I'd come home and be sound asleep, and the dishes would get rattled in the the kitchen cabinets by F-15s and the like coming in about 200 feet over my roof. I hadn't heard anything like it until yesterday. Low-flying, supersonic American warbirds flying over West Virginia. Now, we've got an Air National Guard unit down in Charleston, but they are made up entirely of lumbering, slow-moving C-130 cargo transport planes. You know, there's a slow you could pick them off with a 30-06. Not that anybody would. But being West Virginia and being, you know, chock-a-block with hunters, you know, we see things going through the air and we think, you gotta lead them a little. Ducks, geese, aircraft. You know, I've heard it a million times, but I've heard it once. Boy, them things are slow. Wouldn't want to be flying one of them anywhere any guns was being fired. We talk about things like that. We do see military aircraft in the sky, but like I said, they're C-130s. They're not F-whatevers cracking the sound barrier right over top of your head. And, of course, that was at the same time that we were getting the news reports that we had attacked an Iranian consulate in the Kurdish north of Iraq. A very disturbing little bit of news. And six Iranian diplomats were captured by our forces. And apparently, it didn't go over any too well. The Kurds, you know, our buddies, the Kurds, the ones that are on our side, the Kurds didn't think so much of our little attack. You know, apparently we sent vehicles into the streets and we jumped out and people were told, you know, surrender or die in like six different languages, Farsi, Kurdish, Arabic, God knows what, English. We got the English part down. And carried off some Iranians. And if you listen to Dear Leader's speech Wednesday evening, you could hear the desire for war against Iran literally dripping from his fangs. And for Syria, oh, he had it. And that, you know, that coupled with the news report that I hadn't touched on that came out, what, over the weekend? that Israel is planning nuclear strikes against the Iranian military facilities. Kind of, sort of gives a little background and credence to my assertion that the reason Iran wants a nuclear weapon, if in fact they do, they've claimed they do not, that if they want a nuclear weapon, the reason they want it is because everybody around them has them. Oh, for God's sakes, go look at the map. There sits Iran, and I'm not going to say poor little Iran. No, massively screwed up Iran. Because they're just a couple of steps further with their religious fundamentalists than we are here. Their religious fundamentalists actually got control of the country. Our religious fundamentalists want control of the country. You want to see? Honest to God, you want to see where the brother Donald Wildman and James Dobson and Robertson and Falwell want to take this country? You take a good long hard look at Iran. So not poor little Iran, massively screwed up Iran. Iran that has tremendous, tremendous domestic debt and needs to sell every barrel of oil it can hustle onto the market in order to deal with that debt. Which would sort of make sense if you're into the nuclear thing for building nuclear power plants so that you're not fueling your own nation with your own oil. And you've instead got that to put out into the, wait a minute, the free market! Funny how the free market is all things to all people unless someone else is engaging in it that we don't like. But take a look at the map. Look at Iran sitting there. Pakistan's got nukes. And Pakistan, well, there was a Frontline piece on, maybe Sunday night, Monday night, I'm not sure. A Frontline piece was on about the return of the Taliban. And you could not help but watch that and recognize what a duplicitous, dirty little game Pakistan has played with us, and what a duplicitous, dirty little game we have played with Pakistan and with Afghanistan. You know, Hamid Karzai's head's going to wind up on top of a goalpost in a soccer stadium. It's sad, really. There he was, a successful oil executive with Unocal. Next thing you know, he gets handed one of those little hamburger fryer hats and a cape, and you're president of Afghanistan. Devil, you say. I want to be an oil executive. Now, you're president of Afghanistan. Please! Fortunately, you know... I'm your ally, right? We're allies. You're not going to let them put my head on top of a goalpost in a soccer stadium? Ah, you know, these things happen, homie. But that piece was enlightening. It just showed what a massively screwed up situation that is. But, you know, at Pakistan, they went, if you recall, they surrendered to the Taliban. A few months ago. What was it, November? October? Surrendered to the Taliban and said, where the Taliban's concerned, we're not going to study war no more. And Pakistan is sitting on a nuclear arsenal. And Pakistan, Pervez Musharraf in Pakistan is two hairs on a baboon's butt away from getting his head on the goalpost in a soccer stadium by a bunch of religious fundamentalists. And he's got nukes. And if that government falls, the really crazy people then have nukes. And they're not the kind of crazy people that Iran is the kind of crazy people. They're different flavors of crazy within the same overarching religion. And it's like, who was it? The great comedian Stephen Wright. Two guys standing on a bridge. One of them's going to commit suicide. And the other guy's trying to talk him out of it. He says, well, don't you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Well, what's your religion? I'm a Baptist. You're a Baptist? Me too. What kind of Baptist? Reformed Baptist? Reformed Baptist? Me too. What kind of Reformed Baptist? Reformed Free Will Baptist? Really? Reformed Free Will Baptist? Me too. What kind of Reformed Free Will Baptist? Reformed Free Will Baptist from the convention of 1856, and the guy goes, I'm Reformed Free Will Baptist from the convention of 1872. Die, heretic! And throws the dude off the bridge. That's what you... Because the crazies in Pakistan are different crazy from the crazies in Iran. And the crazies in Pakistan, should they get power, will have a nuclear arsenal that they could use on the hated crazy, the hated, you know, the Reformed Free Will Baptist Convention of 1856 in Iran. And being as how their Reformed Free Will Baptist Convention of 1872, they're nervous. And then there's India. There's India, where I don't know how many mangoes Iran raises, but it's probably not enough. So you got nuclear India. You got nuclear Pakistan. You got nuclear Israel, who is now actively talking about first striking with nuclear weapons Iran. Then you got the United States. And on the other Iranian border, congratulations, here's your damn toaster, you got Russia. That can't even account for all of its nuclear weapons. And then you got the United States attacking Iraq. And it becomes abundantly clear that the only countries we don't attack are the ones that have nuclear arms, so necessarily the Persians, the Iranians, whatever you want to call them, very, very intelligent people, look at the world situation and say, okay, we got the Reformed Free Will Baptist Convention of 1856. We got the world's largest democracy. We got the Israelis who would rather see us dead than, you know, what, I'd rather fight than switch. And you got the United States, who can't win the war in Iraq, but they can darn sure start one because Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons. We better have some nukes. And this is all the ignored backdrop behind the simplistic garbage that Dim Sun put out a couple of nights ago. And it just makes you want to run screaming into the night. Welcome to the 21st century. Welcome to 2007. You know, the imagery of New Year's. You know, the new. Do you believe it? The New Year is only 12 days old? The New Year is only 12 days old. And you know how he's always portrayed as a shining pink little baby? And the old year is the old grizzled guy with the long beard that's got like bits of soup and bread in it? I'm imagining the New Year's baby at day 12. Ain't feeling so rosy and pink. A group I have a great deal of respect for, the atomic scientists, and the bulletin thereof. I think it started out, what was the original name of the bulletin of the atomic scientists? It was the Chicago Bulletin or the Chicago Quarterly. Because it originated in the University of Chicago Physics Department. And when they originated the atomic doomsday clock, it's been anywhere from 2 minutes to midnight in 1953 to 17 minutes to midnight in 1991. Next week it goes back to 7 minutes to midnight. And, you know, the atomic scientists follow this stuff fairly closely. It's sort of their business. But interestingly, in the newest manifestation of the Doomsday Clock, it's being moved forward. They haven't said yet that it's going forward, but their news release says that the change is based on, quote, worsening nuclear climate threats to the world. Nuclear and climate threats. This means that even the nuclear scientists are taking global warming seriously. From the press release, the major new step reflects growing concerns about a second nuclear age marked by grave threats, including nuclear ambitions in Iran and North Korea, unsecured nuclear materials in Russia and elsewhere, the continuing launch-ready status of 2,000 of the 25,000 nuclear weapons held by the U.S. and Russia, escalating terrorism, and new pressure from climate change for expanded civilian nuclear power that could increase proliferation risks. Well, that's pretty good. It was last pushed forward by 2 minutes to 7 minutes to midnight in 2002. So, is it going to go to 6 minutes, 5 minutes till midnight? This is frightening. This is truly frightening. Oh, God. But meanwhile, I think John Fox touched on it. Meanwhile, in the Great Northwest, this is from SeattlePI.com. This week in Federal Way schools, it got a lot more inconvenient to show one of the top grossing documentaries in U.S. history, The Global Warming Alert, An Inconvenient Truth. After a parent who supports the teaching of creationism and opposes sex education complained about the film, the Federal Way School Board on Tuesday placed what it labeled a moratorium on showing the film. And there's the quote, Frosty Hardison, a parent of seven, who said that he believes the Earth is 14,000 years old. Quote, condoms don't belong in school, and neither does Al Gore. He's not a school teacher. The information that's being presented is a very cockeyed view of what the truth is. The Bible says that in the end times, everything will burn up, but that perspective isn't in the DVD. Nope. Sure isn't. That perspective is not in the DVD. That perspective's not in the DVD because it's not supported by old science! You know what else isn't in the DVD? I'm sure Frosty Hardison will get around to it sooner or later, but the other thing that's not in the damn DVD is the fact that the Earth is, sitting on the back of an elephant that's standing on a turtle, standing on a turtle, standing on a turtle, standing. It's turtles all the way down! There's no mention of the, death and rebirth cycle of life on Earth that is, contemplated inside the Mayan calendric system. Because while that is mathematically interesting and mathematically incredibly accurate, the Mayan calendar, what is surrounding it is mythology. On the other hand, this isn't an inconvenient truth. Isn't mythology. Frosty Hardison. Frosty the Fundy was a very stupid man. Oh, God. Or, I don't know, Frosty. Is Frosty... Wait. Is Frosty like one of those... is that a guy? Or do you think it's a girl? A mommy?
Frosty's a guy.
No. Condoms don't belong... Condoms don't belong in school, and they didn't belong in my hoo-hoo either. That's why I have seven children.
No, Frosty's a guy. He just snorted too much pixie dust, honey.
David Larson is a lawyer, and he proposed the moratorium Tuesday night. Somebody could say you're killing free speech, and my retort to them would be, we're encouraging free speech. The beauty of our society is we allow debate. John said it so well. We're going to go back and debate whether the Earth is round.
or whether the, how do you debate whether the Earth is 14,000 years old? How do you sit there and sanely participate in that conversation? Well, you know, I added up all the numbers that are contained in the Bible. Well, it says the Earth is 14,000 years old. And 3 days. 8 hours and 22 seconds. I'm sorry, sir. The decay of radioactive isotopes contained in certain stones and strata and layer of yada and can be measured by virtue of the decay of those isotopes indicates that the Earth is 4 billion years old. Die, heretic. Who knew that John Cleese and Graham Chapman and Eric Idle and Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones and the wonderful guys from Monty Python would turn out to be prophets? You remember the argument sketch? You're not giving me an argument. You're just gainsaying my own statements. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. See? No. That's where we are. Oh, my God. The school board members adopted a 3-point policy that says teachers who want to show the movie must ensure that a credible... quote, a credible, legitimate opposing view will be presented, that they must get the okay of the principal and the superintendent, and any teachers who have shown the film must now present an opposing view. We believe that cancer is caused by demons. Demons? Yep, demons. There are blood demons, and there are lung demons, and brain demons, and lymphatic system demons, and liver demons, and apparently the really bad one is the pancreas demon. Demons. That's an opposing view. It's an opposing view of the scientific facts surrounding cancer. Let's see. The world is getting warmer because we're cranking so much crap into the atmosphere that has never been pumped into the atmosphere before by any agency of man. That the polar ice caps are melting. And now our opposing view. God is holding a giant Bic lighter under the North Pole. We're screwed. Do you realize that? We are screwed. All right. It's time for a break. We'll be back. You want to jump in on this? I invite you. Last chance before the weekend, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now, difference between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Really did save the best for last. There are more quotes from the Hardisons in this story from SeattlePI.com, the Post Intelligencer. It's a quote from Gayla Hardison. So we do now know that Frosty is an ignorant man. From what I've seen of the movie and what my husband has expressed to me, which, you know, now you gotta put that through the filter. In other words, she hasn't seen any of the movie, and what my husband has expressed to me, this proves that she is a fundy because she believes that verse in 30-second flip-floppians about the women shall remain silent in church or some silly doggerel as that. From what I've seen of the movie and what my husband has expressed to me, if the movie is going to take the approach of bad America, I don't think it should be shown at all. If you're going to come in and just say America is creating the rotten ruin of the world, I don't think the video should be shown. We got to have the webcam because, you know, at this point there's not much you can do verbally short of screaming obscenities, but you do the Archie Bunker, one of the Archie Bunker suicide pantomimes, either with the revolver or the noose or the with the razor strop. You of a certain generation are familiar with this. It's, where Edith is prattling on it, Archie! And he's just, you know, I'm Q-faced, Edith. You're killing me. Oh, ooh, ooh, ah. If you're going to come in and just say America's creating the rotten ruin of the world, I don't think the video should be shown, praise Jesus.
Hmm.
Bad America. Bad America. I don't think it should be shown at all. Now, the article also points out that 5% of the population, which resides here in the United States, produces 25% of the greenhouse gases. And we've got a hand in it. It's just amazing. Well, we'll go back to the phones. Okay, an unknown caller. Well, this should be interesting. Yes, unknown caller?
Actually, I'm a known caller, but I'm not going by my name tonight. And when you hear what I have to talk about, well, everybody that knows me already knows me, so everybody knows who I am.
Okay.
The thing is, of course, since my phone calls are no doubt monitored anyway, I guess Agent Fred's getting this anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been debating a while about whether to bring this up, but I'm just going to go ahead and bring it up. My computer is hit every day, at least 10 or 15 times daily, by the Department of Defense Information Center. Sometimes it's referred to, there's another server out there that's called the Department of Defense Network Information Center, Department Network Information. It's like the name is duplicated. It's a different server. But these are all UDP packets, and...
Okay, for the not terribly literate, can you explain that?
Well, you know, we're going to get into some
which
stuff
includes me.
Probably I can't explain because some of this is new to me, and so I'll explain as much of it as I can.
Okay.
TCP packets are like the regular packets where you access a website and it sends you information, then your computer acknowledges it and sends it back. Yes, I got it. Go ahead and send the next packet. It's sort of a handshaking thing. It's mutual communication.
Okay.
A UDP packet is like dropping a letter in a mailbox and you just hope the post office gets it there. But if you keep sending that letter in over and over and over again, eventually, like 9 times out of 10, it's going to get there. So there's no handshaking necessary. Now, the interesting thing about these UDP packets is that they request a response. And it's like a ping in a way,
mm-hmm.
To determine if you're online. Which at which point I don't know what they do with that, if they try to hack in or see what vulnerabilities you have, or sometimes UDP packets can be used in what's called buffer overflow situations, which is a way to gain access off of people's computers. But mostly now some of these UDP packets even come from like the United Arab Emirates.
Really?
Now I discovered this when I started using a program a while back called Peer Guardian. Now, Peer Guardian is entirely different than a firewall. Firewall has a defined purpose. But this actually blocks IP addresses from open ports that you want to have open. And there are various lists that you can download daily, like, you know, they update the list daily. And, one of the lists is like to block spyware, and one of the lists is to block malware, and there's a list to block point-to-point file sharing. I mean, this is not something that I endorse or recommend anyone, but, you know, people that share files over the Internet that you're not supposed to, that are copyrighted, you know, like Time Warner and all these people are trying to find out who's doing that. So,
right.
So there's that list. But there's a government list, which is a list that I have enabled on my system. And... you know, I've got to tell you, I don't think it's just me. I think what they're doing is over the course of time, sending out these UDP packets to every possible IP address in the universe. You know, there's only so many. It starts at 255.255, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the way down to, I guess, 0.0. Well, that wouldn't be valid. But, you know, all the way down to... And they're hitting these machines to see if they're on. What in the name of Jesus Christ has the Department of Defense Network Information Center got any business knowing if I'm online? And what the hell do they want my machine to respond for? These are things I haven't figured out yet. But, I'm hoping we might get some callers that are more up to speed on some of this than I am to find out more about it. But if you want to, you know, do a Google search on UDP. That's like under David Pillow UDP protocol. You can do that. It's in Wikipedia and all that sort of thing to find out what the protocol is. And of course, everybody knows what the Department of Network Information Center is. And there's Now comes and the Department of Network Information, the it's actually the DOD Network Information Center. Their IP addresses are all over the map. I mean, they start with 29, they start with 30, they start with 7. You know,
Peter,
six.
Just now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to take the reasonable and rational approach.
I have been too for days and days, but I'm just throwing out.
Well, weren't the internets originally designed as a function of DOD?
Well, my understanding of the beginning of the internet was it was a function of the universities, so that universities could share information back and forth. Then the military co-opted it.
Okay, so the military did get its ham-fisted little mitts on it somewhere along the way.
Sure they did. Sure they did. And if I had the software, I guess I could send out UDP packets all over the world, too, one IP address at a time.
But what would you do with it?
Praise. Go ahead.
Well, no, what would you do with it? What would it mean to you? What does this information mean?
This is what I'm attempting to get to the bottom of, and I'm starting this search tonight now that I'm making it more public. I know what UDP packets are. They arrive, and you don't have to have requested them. They can just arrive, and this particular packet is requesting a response, and the response I'm assuming is a ping. But it has to be more than just a standard ping because it's a UDP packet, so it's asking for something. Maybe the name of your machine. You know, everybody's got a machine name, and
My guess is, and I'm gonna go ahead and first of all,
haven't got anything on my machine to hide. I mean, you know, I've got a lot of, you know, I can't stand George Bush, but I think that the planet's got that there are no death plots.
Right. Well, then there's that music you like.
what you've
probably got, Peter, is a poor, pathetic little closeted dude in the bowels of the NSA. Who is dying, I tell you, for some great dance music.
Do you think I got a little DOD pal?
I think there's a little gay dude down in there's probably an entire department when you think about it, down in the bowels of the NSA, sitting around whistling, I Feel Pretty.
This is perfect, and they're too ashamed to place an order. That's got to be it.
It's a signal, you know, because they can't go to gaydancefloor.com.
Oh, God.
Because their machines are being watched at home too.
Lord, honey, if it's that bad, just email me. I'll send you one for free.
The first one's free, honey. After that, you got to pay.
But anyway, I suspect
it's not
just me.
No, it's not just you. I got to learn more from you off air or whatever about loading this Peer Guardian on.
Yeah, and you can say what you can do. It runs and runs and runs and runs. It doesn't slow the machine down. It's very fast. But then, like every day, you can like click over to the history and then do a search on the history. And if you type DOD into the search, it brings up all the DODs that it blocked, and it's just a list a mile long.
Well, no, to be entirely candid about this, my guess is, the Bush administration fears the American people more than they fear anyone else. That's why they need Aunt Mabel's secret fudge recipe. Okay, this is about. I mean, God knows it's probably one of those Uniblab 10,000s that makes a Cray look like a TRS-80.
If it's hitting every UDPing every IP address on the planet, then it's got its little hands full, and to hit me like five times a day is incredible when you consider all the IPs out there.
Right, but what I'm getting at is that it is, you know, this is cyber warfare, and what it is planning is to take this. I would almost bet you. Okay, I'm way out there, and this isn't paranoia anymore. Okay.
No, I got it right here on my screen. I'm looking at the list.
I would guess that the Department of Defense has probably put together a means by which they can shut down the entire internet at the stroke of a key.
Now, isn't that interesting? I bet they could, knowing the kind of the level of program.
I mean, how many backbones are there? 9?
Yeah, I bet they could. They could do a what do you call it? A denial of service attack. Take the whole damn thing down. Banks too.
Yeah, and the thing is, or they might not want to take it all down. They might just want to take down selected chunks.
Right.
This is, you know, this is the information warfare age. And, you know, let's say you just want to put Iran in the dark. Well, you've basically pinged every online computer on Earth, and I'm sure with the supercomputer capacity that they have, they can then segregate which IPs are where. Does this make sense?
Yeah, does make sense.
You know, or if you want to shut down the ability of some, because you know, part and parcel of this, if they've found your IP and they're requesting information back, then they know where to look if they decide that you're suspicious.
Yeah, it's definitely scanning ranges. This is for sure because of the nature of my internet connection. Every time I connect, I get a different IP address, but it's in a range. It's like I'm like 199.44. And it's going to be whatever I happen to draw that time. And so, no matter what, how many times I would connect, you know, I'm getting a different IP. It's always
the great heavenly days. This is the fun part. You're dial-up.
Right, I'm dial-up, and it's
they're pinging dial-up.
It's scanning the entire range of IP addresses assigned to my internet service provider. So I know there's one of two things going. They're desperately looking for me, which is kind of ridiculous because I'm very political, very opinionated, but I'm not particularly dangerous. Or they're scanning the entire range and scanning everybody, and I think they're scanning everybody. So I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, we all know this is going on, but to open up a screen and do a search on DOD and then see a whole list of information, you know, just it's disconcerting.
Well, it's Big Brother.
Yeah, it is, and they've got no freaking business knowing if I'm online.
They're protecting you from the terrorists.
So I wish they'd protect me from the fundies.
Well, you know, it's an interchangeable term when you get right down to it. We just don't recognize it yet.
Well,
I mean, after all, if you been out and played the left behind game yet?
Well, if May Sue at the Department of Defense wants a disco CD, she could have one. Just email me. I'll quit pinging my freaking system.
Well, it's disturbing, and I don't mean to make
light. It's funny. I don't know what to make of it, and I'm putting it out there just to see if others are aware of, you know, know more about this than me. I'm only seeing it kind of from a hardware point of view because I don't know the clandestine point of view, and so that's what I know. And by the way, Peer Guardian isn't for everybody. I don't recommend everybody run out to sourceforge.org and get it because it also will block like your streams. You have to open up. You have to de-block, like, for instance, Air America won't stream anymore, Head-On won't stream anymore, C-SPAN doesn't stream anymore. It blocks all those providers. You have to open up all these things. I mean, it's like a huge pain in the... Well, it's a huge pain to run.
Keister.
And I'm in no position to support it. But, you know, it's there, and But by all means...
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, I mean, there's that, and it's showing you that it's happening.
Yeah.
And it is a pain. It's a pain in the keister to run. But on the other side of that, consider the number of people who don't know about it.
Right.
Now, I've got a very good friend who has long recommended to me another program called Pretty Good Privacy.
Now, I've heard about... That rings a bell. I know I've read an article about it, but I can't place it. But, what does it do?
Well, it's basically, if I understand it correctly, it's basically an anonymizer.
Oh, I see. It like fakes out your IP address and stuff.
Right. But the thing is, there, you know, Aunt Jane out there who's looking for a new needlepoint pattern. She doesn't know about this.
No.
And she doesn't. And the other thing is that I think is even more insidious and more malicious, because you have to assume that if you and I can dream of it, the Defense Department somewhere along the way has gotten the money to try to do it.
Right.
And that is spoofing.
Well, and then there's all the rumors, and frankly, I usually get upset at them because you know I've been sleeping with little Billy for many, many years.
Yes.
But there are all the rumors about Microsoft, you know, leaving back doors open for the government and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I don't really take much stock in all of that. But, you know, who knows if they're paying some programmer to leave it. I mean, there's so many billions of lines of code.
Or requiring it legally.
Yeah, there you go. They're doing that to the phone companies and having these little secret rooms that nobody knows about, that the staff can't go into to monitor phone calls, that God knows what they're doing to Microsoft.
Well, precisely. And the thing is, if you can, for instance, the DoD knows that, you know, yours is a valid IP address and that it's an online machine, and they, God knows what kind of data they can find out. Can they find out if it's dial-up versus broadband? I don't know.
I don't know either. And what does this key allow them access to? Every file I've got?
But it's
my computer.
It's like the urban, well, not urban legends. God knows it's happened. But the archetypal story of the dirty cop who carries a drop gun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after you've blown away the dude for whatever reason, oh, you didn't mean to kill him, but you did anyway, you've got a fingerprintless serial numbers filed off handgun that you go and you drop by the body. Oh, he drew a gun on me. That's why I blew his brains out, you know, shot him 42 times.
Right.
Well, could this be, and I'm just speculating, but could this be the cyber equivalent of a Department of Defense drop gun?
Well, you know, it's entirely possible. You know, I got dropped a while back. You know, I had a little very unusual system behavior and I'm pretty much protected. I have to protect myself and, you know, the networks I work with commercially, and so I'm pretty good with all that. And I got to tell you, you know, came out of the clear blue sky, and, you know, maybe it was a Department of Defense key that said, ooh, let's poof him.
Yeah, I think about the insidious stuff, like using someone's IP address to do something malicious to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, our...
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, co-opt mine to do something to yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, in fact... The XP operating system, as you've explained it to me, one of its very useful functions is the ability to remote diagnose and fix problems on other computers.
Yes, so you can log into other people. Yes, and have full control. You're supposed to be granted that permission by the user, but maybe this is a global permission UDP.
Right. If the UDP comes through, maybe there's something in the code that constitutes a permission grant. We simply do not know.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, I think. Somebody should file a Freedom of Information Act request lawsuit over this stuff.
Over what the freaking DOD is hit.
Yeah, and the problem is you would be hit with, you know, again, a billion lines of code that it would take, you know, people with titanium pocket protectors to figure out.
Exactly. And I've got to tell you, I'm good at it, but I don't have my titanium. I'm not a titanium level pocket protector.
My suggestion would be, if I was going to go and dig around on it, I would start with the Electronic Freedom Foundation.
Well, that's a good point. That's something that I'm going to look up then later. I made a note, Electronic Freedom Foundation.
You know, and I mean, they're very, very serious about what they do. And this is right up their alley.
Well, I'm going to certainly Google those guys and see what I can compose, and I can print out this list of hits and what's going on. And the only reason I know that they're hitting is because I'm blocking them. If they weren't blocked, then I would never know they came in because they're transparent. They just come in with all the other packets. And a firewall doesn't...
Jesus, that's creepy.
Yeah, it's an IP. It selects certain IP addresses, and it's blocking those, not the ports, because you do have to have some open ports, or you can't communicate with anybody. What, you know, it's just creepy.
It is.
electronicfreedomofinformation.org or something like that.
Yeah, just Google Electronic Freedom Foundation.
Okay, Bob. Well, that's my gloom and doom for this evening. And
well, I appreciate it.
Yes, so my name is Jack Simpson, and I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Beautiful downtown Duval County.
That's it.
Darn right.
I'll see you later.
And you don't know anything about GayDanceFloor.com.
No, I don't know a damn thing about dance music. Oh, Jesus.
Wouldn't know a mirror ball if it dropped on your head.
Nope. In fact, that's what's wrong with me now. One fella hit me on the head.
Didn't have the sense to dodge it.
Well, I'll see you later, guys.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
Thank you. You
have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're up against news time. When we come back, your phone calls straight. Look, let's make it a phone call kind of night. Let's just talk before the weekend comes. This is the Head On Radio Network. One line open, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid. Sometimes.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, hearings held by the Senate Armed Services Committee featured testimony from Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Peter Pace. Gates said the first phase of the President's Iraq War plan will start early next month. Meantime, the new chairman of the committee, Senator Carl Levin, said the troop increase there is a flawed strategy and a grave mistake. He also said a political solution is needed among the Iraqis. Republican Senator John McCain, though, defended the president's plan as necessary. He added that it would give the Americans and Iraqis, quote, the best chance of success. President Bush had phone conversations with the King of Jordan, Abdullah II, and the President of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, today. They discussed a trip by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to the Middle East, and she'll spend a week there, including trips to Israel and the West Bank. Next week, President Bush will meet with the new Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, at the White House. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani travels to Damascus this weekend to hold talks with Syria's President Bashar al-Assad. It's the first time in 3 decades that an Iraqi president will go to Syria for discussions. On Capitol Hill, a bipartisan group of senators proposed legislation that could force power plants and industry to cut emissions of greenhouse gases to one-third of year 2000 levels by the year 2050. The Climate Stewardship and Innovation Act places a cap on emissions for 6 kinds of gases from 4 sectors: electric utilities, industry, transportation, and commercial. The White House denies that it has any current military plans pending against Iran and Syria. President Bush issued stern warnings to both countries during his televised speech to the nation this week, voicing concern that both Tehran and Damascus were being used as territory for launching attacks inside Iraq. The House of Representatives passed legislation today that would require the federal government to negotiate with drug manufacturers to provide lower prices for Medicare patients. President Bush has threatened to veto that bill. The U.S. Embassy in Athens was hit early today by a rocket attack fired from across the street. Greek authorities say the attack probably came from a domestic terrorist group. No one was injured. The U.S. ambassador said there was minimal damage. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Surging tax revenue helped the federal deficit rebound between October and December of last year, according to Treasury Department figures. The current number stands at $80.4 billion. That's down 32% from the same time 1 year ago. Toyota is considering building 5 more plants in North America within the next decade, certainly one in Mexico and one in the American South. Toyota is expected to overtake GM this year as the nation's largest automaker. It turns out retailers did have a good holiday season after all. Commerce Department rather reporting that December retail sales were up 0.9%. The chief executive of BP, one of the largest oil companies in the world, will retire at the end of July. John Brown will be replaced by Tony Hayward. The Wall Street Journal reports federal authorities are looking into the falsified documents involving Apple CEO Steve Jobs' backdated stock options grant. OPEC ministers are deciding whether to hold an emergency meeting to respond to the drop in oil prices, currently at 19-month lows. OPEC may cut oil production by another 500,000 barrels per day. Another record-setting day for Wall Street at today's close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 41 points at 12,556, the NASDAQ on a 6-year high up 18 points at 2502, S&P 500 up 7 points at 1413. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
You know, there's a curse to being an old disc jockey. I love the newscasts we get from QNN Quality News Network. But I was sitting there listening, and I heard, this is the Quality News Network. I'm Barbara Lewis. Where did I go? Well, I'm a John Prine fan. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna Beauregard. Don't you know her when you see her? She grew up in your backyard. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna Beauregard. It's all a web, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Andy calls in from Wales in the United Kingdom. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm getting along.
Cool. That conversation with... Was that Pete?
No.
It wasn't. It was that dude from Jackson. That's right. Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, that was quite interesting. Basically, what you need is you need a firewall that will stealth your IP address.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that basically the only computers that have your IP address are ones you actually directly request information from, not just looking at you're downloading from. So you need something that stealths your IP address. You could just do put in like stealth IP address into a search engine and have a look. There's quite a few. David Callan wrote an article that I have under one of my bookmarks about that. So. It's worth looking for. You can get free ones that do it for you as well.
It would, you know, and moreover, I think it would be nice to just find out what are these things doing?
Well, you know, the you're talking about, is there a backdoor into Windows XP? Yes, there is. There are repeated backdoors, lots of them. All of them ordered by the US government to be put into Microsoft. And it was the same with Microsoft Windows 98 and 2000 and NT.
Well, one would assume that if it's important enough to put into Microsoft, it's probably in the in other OSs as well.
Some people have. I mean, for example, with Mozilla blocks a whole load of the access ways in because they're built into. The reason Microsoft built in Internet Explorer is because most of the ways in are built into Internet Explorer. So if you stop using Internet Explorer, about like 90% of the ways the U.S. government has to get into your computer are just shut. If you use Mozilla, for example, because they're not cooperating with the U.S. I think I'm not sure where Mozilla are based out of, but they're not cooperating with the government, as far as I've been able to tell. I certainly haven't been affected by any kind of number of, because the reason spyware and malware can get into your computer so easily is because they use the same holes. Yeah.
Okay.
And so since I've had Mozilla, I've had one virus. I've had it about a year.
Wow! And stopped it.
Oh, yeah. Well, with Mozilla, it let it in, but because it only let that one in, all my antivirus and stuff was quite easy, able to cope.
Okay.
And, of course, you need a registry securing software as well. You need something that checks your registry. Every time something tries to change your registry, it says, did you authorize this change?
Something right.
Like Fibot.
Well, you know, the thing that going back to the previous conversation... Mm-hmm. The thing that stands out, though, is that, you know, you and I are having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the, you know, the folks who are, you know, not into their computers.
No.
You know, it's a tool for, it's an interactive, in many instances, an interactive television.
Well, yeah. For most people, a computer is just another sort of TV or, a personal library.
And those people are subject to being abused.
Well, that's it. I mean, the research by IT experts over here has shown that at least 80% of home PCs are infected, and that means, like, more than 5 viruses or spyware devices.
Yeah. All sitting there and communicating back or counting keystrokes or, yeah.
Yeah, doing whatever they're doing, you know, telling companies, telling criminals, telling government, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, there's so much stuff out there on the web. If you search for spyware and you're not paying attention, you can end up downloading programs that can just take over the computer and enslave it. You know?
Well, there are so-called spyware blockers out there that are spyware themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, basically, there's three programs I use and I'd advise anyone to use, which are free. And that's Greesoft AVG, which is the antivirus guard, and that's really good. There's Spybot Search and Destroy, which is the registry defender, and that's really good. And then there's Zane Alarm, which is the firewall, and that's excellent. And they're all free. And if you want one extra, then you need Adaware.
Right. Yeah, we've used Adaware in the past. I'm just watching the chat room, and one of the things I'm finding out is these packets come in without any browser running, and it's not a browser issue.
Some do, but that's what I mean. It's like 90% of the stuff is blocked when you're using Mozilla, and then there's still the problems that there are ones that can enter your computer without any form of
browser. Yeah, just by being there.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But, I mean, they rely on your IP address being available. They have to know where your IP is to get into your computer. So if you have a stealthed IP address with your firewall, in theory, you should be secure.
And
but ultimately, if they want to get into your computer,
and it's that, build a better mousetrap, you get a smarter mouse.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I mean, it's always a battle. I mean, hacktivists are out there doing what they can to stop this, and you get the various sort of, you know, people writing viruses that attack government attack programs and stuff. You know, it's a battle. It's always a battle.
I'm sure that they're used in the UK as well as here, but you know, the radar guns that are used to detect your automobile speed.
Yeah, yeah.
I always wanted to have a high tech Star Trek-y kind of thing that would jam it. And we need that. We frankly, those of us who are interested in real privacy, need that sort of thing on a cyber equivalent. We need to be able not only to stop it, but to disable it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and your government is working against all the other governments in the world to try and stop having a free internet and create a U.S. government controlled. It's like the U.S. government has to control space. The U.S. government has to control cyberspace. And the problem, of course, is the U.S. government can't because it's too broke to do either.
Well, the problem is the philosophy that lies behind it, Andy, really is one of fearing, and this is disgusting to me as an American citizen. I'm not kidding when I say that the federal government fears the American people more than it fears anyone else on Earth.
Yeah, it always has. It always has. I mean, your founding fathers set up a constitution in the fear of your people.
Well, in terms of in terms of the franchise and
look at how completely it sounds really bad when I say it, because I'm not having a dig at American people. What I'm having a dig at is the fact that your constitution is not really what it says it is, because it's never been true, not true in the way. I mean, you know, it's pitched in one way, and what actually happens is the rich do whatever the hell they like, and you lot get screwed as usual.
That's generally a worldwide phenomenon.
It is, but at least most of the rest of the world doesn't tell their people that they're having a great time while they're doing it. You know what I mean? We know that we're subjects of Her Majesty the Queen, and we live only at her pleasure, and the government we have is a complete farce, and that that's why only 30% of the population turn out to the polls some years. You know what I mean? We know it's a farce, and we know we're getting screwed, but in America, you're all convinced. I mean, it's indoctrination, and it's worse than...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not so silly as to think that there's, this is the same republic that was envisioned by people like Ben Franklin.
Well, no.
That guy was a genius, and he really...
Well, that's the thing, I mean, the problem with criticizing the Founding Fathers is there were a few of them were actually probably quite nice and enlightened and liberal people that wanted to do stuff right, but it didn't get used. Their ideas...
Well, it's what happens within the process. For instance, it's very clear that the president cannot declare war.
But the president keeps declaring wars.
The president cannot levy troops, but as far, you know,
he's
the
troops.
Well, the Civil War, the American Civil War, Andy. Abraham Lincoln just, unzipped his fly and took a big pee on the Constitution and levied himself up enough troops to run a war.
Yeah, basically. I mean, look, the rules are there for you and me, and if it's convenient for them to follow them, and by them, of course, I mean the rich, then they will. But if it's not convenient for them to follow them, then they won't. It's very simple. I mean, that's why when you get those people who are just nuts and seem to be just completely nuts and just do stuff that we wouldn't consider doing, and just kill people and take their money and, whatever. They're not really insane. We only call them insane because we think that the social norm should stop people from doing that. These people have just realized that they don't have to apply if they don't want them to. They're just doing what the rich do. You know? It's an analogy, not a great one, but it kind of works.
Well, the thing is, look, for instance, I mean, this is a classic, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the language of the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
It was deliberately written so as to be so clear,
yeah,
that even
it's
a moron,
my kind of legal statement.
Yeah, even a moron or a judge could understand it.
Yes, yes.
But I repeat myself.
And so what you have is because of the... this is really inside constitutional baseball. But, you know, you start out with Chief Justice John Marshall authoring the case of Marbury versus Madison, in which he sets forth the principle of judicial review. And he says, it is the province of the judicial branch of the federal government to interpret the Constitution. That's our job, and we'll do it. And we will tell the Congress, and we will tell the President if what they're doing is illegal, and they must, by God, take what we say as law.
Yeah.
It seems kind of commonplace, but it's really not. It's a kind of a radical extension of the Anglo system of common law. What you get is instead of I'm trying to think of the case. The name of the case, the style of the case, escapes me at the moment. But there was a Fourth Amendment case. All back in the 70s, Justice Brennan wrote the dissent in it, and in essence, the majority, it was a case where the cops had a search warrant for place A, they went into place B, they committed mayhem, they may have killed somebody or, you know, badly beaten someone, and they were sued. And the Supreme Court majority said, well, that's okay. They didn't violate your Fourth Amendment rights because they were acting, and they didn't violate your civil rights in general because they were acting in good faith. And in essence, in that case, they crafted a good faith exception to the entire Bill of Rights.
Well, you could say that the United States government has added a good faith exception to everything they've ever done.
Yeah, as long as we're acting in good faith, and see, that's a... That's
a terrible accident what happened in Vietnam, that 6 million people died.
But we were acting in good faith.
Yeah. It wasn't like made up.
But nine times out of ten, if you have to plead that you were acting in good faith, that is in my estimation, prima facie proof that you weren't.
Well, yeah, I'd say so. I mean, it's the same as people who say, in my humble opinion. There's nothing humble about what's about to come out of their mouth.
Yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't be spouting it.
Exactly. And, you know, what's new about it? You know, your government is yet again sneaking around and spying on your people and everybody else around the world. So we knew that already, you know. Of course they're going to do it with the internet. Of course they will. They'll do it with phones. You know, if you say bomb and assassin and president all in the same conversation, bingo, Agent Fred gets to listen to another one.
Yeah. Or Agent Fred's Uniblab 10,000.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This really is, a lot of this really is straight out of the psychosis that is at the core of that film, A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
You know, here's this brilliant economist who turns out to be crazier than a run-over dog, and he's out in his garage pasting snippets of language from Highlights for Children and Punch, you know, all over the wall, and he's finding communist code in it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the essence of the NSA today.
Well, you know, they're institutionally insane, aren't they? I mean, they've been driven by this, everyone's out to get us, we can't trust our own people, you know, there are spies in amongst them, there are, you know, people who organize labor, they're dissidents, they're looking to take over the country. You know, they never see things in terms of, oh, that guy wants a few bucks more on his wages and some decent health care for him and his family. They never see it like that.
No, he wants to overturn the government and set up the workers' paradise.
We're always the most radical, and they'll never see it any other way. It's the way they operate, because remember, you know, they're the physical arm of the ruling elite. They're the institutionalized violence, you know. These are the sneaky violence. The army's the heavy violence. And
sometimes they come out of the closet and they act overtly. You know, Joe Hill was shot by a firing squad, Big Bill Haywood. It goes on and on and on.
Oh yeah, well, you know, there's
you know, look, we're celebrating a birthday on Monday here.
Yeah.
Of a guy who was shot down in Memphis because he went to walk in a rally for people who collected the trash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where Martin Luther King had gotten to, and one of the reasons I think King gets rubbed out is because he had started to transform his message from one that spoke only to the limited population demographic of the African-American community. He had begun to become a
working-class activist.
A working-class activist, because
and
he wasn't...
And dangerous to have living in the USA.
Yeah.
That's why Sarge needs to watch his back, and I hope he's packing something. because he is an activist. That's what he will be considered by the U.S. government. And I hate that. But what can we do about it? Your government's a bunch of fascists, and they have a bunch of fascist organizations. Remember, these secret services were set up with the help of SS men that were smuggled out of Germany. And this has all been released. The British documents have all been released about it. They came through Britain and were delivered to the USA.
And the fledgling OSS.
Yeah, and the OSS went, well, these guys are experts at it. We need to pick their brains. And they did, very effectively, because the OSS were fairly good at what they did, but the SS were a lot more accomplished.
Well, consider the OSS of World War II era. Yeah, I like an OSS that has an Agent Julia Child. You know, the great American TV chef. She literally worked for the OSS in France during the Second World War.
Mm.
You know, and it was admirable service fighting the Nazis. But then, well, like you say, we co-opted a bunch of Nazis and adopted a lot of their thinking.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's not like it hadn't been done already. I mean, that sort of action is what governments have done throughout history. You know, they're efficient. Let's use them. I'm amazed that America didn't take the lesson to heart and do it in Iraq, which would have, you know, at least wouldn't have been quite so mad a bloodbath.
Well, that's the problem, though. You there in the UK, you guys have had an understanding that it is valuable to have an educational apparatus that actually cares about what's going on in other countries. Our sole, you know, look at Condoleezza Rice. This is a woman who is an expert in Soviet studies. Okay, her degree is—it's not in Russian studies; it's in Soviet studies.
Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean.
Right, but she's an anachronism.
I know. It's not even like when she was studying for her degree, they didn't know that the Soviet Union was going to fall apart. Of course they knew. Everybody could see that coming from the 70s on.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, there was some research done, like a load of polls asked of leaders in America and leaders over here. And they asked like 147 Congress people, including like Democrats and Republicans apiece, mm-hmm. like roughly equal numbers. And they said like a series of questions, but they asked them things like, you know, what's the difference between Sunni and Shia? And they weren't even looking for the specific difference, you know. They were looking for like, oh, well, they're two groups of Islam that disagree with each other. That's what the answer they were looking for.
Jeez.
And only two Congress people were able to answer anywhere close to the answer. And only six people they asked in our parliament were able to answer anywhere close to the right answer. These people are running our countries, and they're interfering in these people's cultures and blowing them up, and they don't even know what drives them. I mean, Sun Tzu would be tearing his hair out and, like, spitting on the floor.
Well, that's the point. You know, I go back to, well, our good friend Eugene Finnerman at FinnermanWorks.com referenced T.E. Lawrence the other day.
Yeah.
You know, here's a guy who goes into the Royal Military, gets seconded to, you know, some squirrely little back office in Egypt.
Yeah.
But has bothered to learn the language, learn the customs, learn the culture, and is able to ingratiate himself into that system.
Yeah, earn respect of the locals.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
And
he was betrayed, and ultimately his word was broken because the British government thought they were a bunch of old ragheads or something.
Exactly.
Just like the American government think they are now.
But the thing is, we don't have any interest in that.
No, well, we know what the interest is. The interest is trying to deny the oil to Europe and China and Russia. We know what the interest is, Bob.
But if we even wanted to be good at that, Andy.
Oh, well, no. Being good at what you are interested in doing is down to competence, and we know that they're not particularly competent. I mean, these guys are still operating in the 70s, remember? I mean, you know.
Well, look at some of the Iraq War is deliberate. Some of it is absolute, just raging incompetence. The German security or security service or intelligence service or whatever it is, were the handlers of Curveball.
Yeah.
Codename Curveball.
Yeah.
And
something
they,
in the name there, isn't it?
And I mean, you know, I'm not trying to insult anybody. These are the Germans. They're you know, they stick out like a sore thumb in Iraq like we do. You know, it's a complete disconnect. But they're handling Curveball. They find out that Curveball's hanging out under the bridge, drinking screw top bottle wine, and just out of his mind. I mean, really, he was an alcoholic, and we were funneling money to him. The German security service gets on the line to the CIA or whomever and says, "Listen, we're not responsible for any of the crazy crap this guy babbles anymore. He's nuts."
Yeah, they've been saying it for years before this. I mean,
right, and then we went to war on Curveball.
Well, look, the intelligence was fixed around what was necessary. They decided it was necessary to go to war in Iraq because, first of all, it fulfills the neocon ultimate goal of controlling all Middle Eastern oil, and they needed to, well, get out of Saudi Arabia and point out to Saudi Arabia what could happen if they decided they wanted to go back. Object lesson. Point out to Iran what would happen if they didn't obey, what would happen, you know, if didn't obey the US. Look what happened. There's an object lesson there. Syria, the same thing. Israel, look how good we are, Israel. Look how powerful our force is and what we can do. See, we're supporting you. There were a whole bunch of messages that went out on top of it. There were a whole bunch of ways of, you know, defrauding the US people of their tax monies.
But we're not competent, Andy.
Well, yeah, but the competence doesn't necessarily come just because you're in government. We all know that, yeah?
Well, I mean, look at the CIA plot to humiliate Castro by making his beard fall out.
Well, the CIA is a bunch of institutionally insane people. When you end up in that lot, I mean, have you ever worked in an office, Bob? It's quite an insane place, an office, like the kind of being in there for 8 hours and all these weird...
I've been in it. I managed well, to last two
that.
Or 3 years.
Yeah, but imagine that where you're basically, you never, ever get out of that office. You the only people you ever see are the same people, and they're always saying the same things. The only news you watch is Fox News, you know? And literally, they're in this little bubble. It's like watching Big Brother. We're all looking in. They're not looking out. They've got this little map of the world, and they go, oh, let's go there and do that. And then they're getting these reports back in from their agents going, it's not going very well. They're going, well, do more of the same, because that'll obviously work. Just because they're insane, you know, doesn't mean they don't have plans and stuff. But.
The history of our, you know, right after we succeeded in overthrowing the democratically elected government of Iran, at your Mr. Churchill's urging,
Well, it wasn't really Mr. Churchill's urging. It was BP and Exxon and whoever else.
Well, who were urging him, right.
And urging whoever was in charge there and whoever was in charge in France. Come on, let's be fair. It was always the capitalists that do these things. The governments just go along.
I was just getting in a dig. But we were heady with our success there. And then we started up in Guatemala.
Yeah.
And the history of the Guatemala affair in the 50s, is were it not so ultimately bloody and heartrending, it would be funny.
Well,
I mean, the stupid things.
Yeah, I mean, look, the problem is, right, that we have this image of them all being stupid and insane and stuff like that, and the ones that we see are, because that's the point, yeah? I mean, like Michael Parenti says, they're so stupid, these people that rule and own the world, yeah? Okay, so the people we see on TV, George Bush et al., they don't rule or own the world. They're very rich, certainly, but they're not the ones that are really making the decisions. The ones that make the decisions are the bankers that run the Federal Reserve. Yeah? They're the ones that really make the decisions. Now, the problem, of course, is that they decide what they want to do, and they imply or suggest or, you know, give the nod to the people in charge, and the people in charge are expected to carry it out. Now, that's where the stupidity comes into the equation. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because the dudes that are running things from the Federal Reserve, the bankers that run the world, they're thinking, well, we can deny the money to the Europeans. Excellent. That means that we'll have more money relative to the Europeans. That means the Chinese won't be as rich. But now, of course, the bankers that rule the world are thinking, oh, God, is the entire 1.5 billion Muslims in this world going to come and attack America and destroy us because of what these fools have done? So that's why the news in America is starting to move against the president, which it will do. If Iraq had been a complete success and there hadn't been a unstable population, just supposing, then none of these questions would have been asked that are being asked in your media right now. I mean, look at your mainstream media. People are actually showing Nancy Pelosi speaking whole segments. You know, that wasn't going to happen a year ago.
No, it wasn't. No.
And
no.
So the corporations are shifting. The corporations have realized, and the people that run them have realized, that the U.S. government at the moment has gone too far. And that's what always happens. You know, the Democrats won't talk about impeachment yet, but if the corporations decide impeachment's what's called for because the people are that angry, because that's ultimately who you're moving. You're moving the corporations. And I don't mean every corporation in the country. I mean the few that actually matter, the five or six that are ruled by 18 or 20 guys.
Well, you know, and I don't know.
It sounds like a conspiracy, but, you know, fact is, these people sit down in rooms, so they breathe the same air, so they do conspire.
Yeah. Well, it's all a damn mess.
It's a damn mess because of people like this, and you know it's been a damn mess.
Yeah, but right. You know, the other side of that, Andy, is what the hell do you and I do?
Well, what we do is we continue to keep talking about this stuff, and we continue to go on whatever demonstrations. And I would urge everyone, if you're going on a demonstration, wear a suit and tie and carry a briefcase. it's really hard to beat you up if you're a police officer and you look, you know, you're trying to beat up someone who looks like an office worker. It's really hard for them to do it because they think, this guy pays my wages.
By God, that, now that, or, you know, this guy might be a plant or, well,
this guy might sue me.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody dressed in a suit is a lot scarier than some hippie with dreadlocks. Do you know what I mean?
There's can you imagine a million people marching on Washington in three-piece suits?
Yeah, and, you know, be extravagant if you like. Get top hats or bowler hats and canes and stuff and just walk along like that. But, you know, the whole point of demonstrations, you've got to try and make a point. And I think the most salient point anyone could make making a demonstration now is silence. I like all those ones where people just stand there with candles on street corners. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Stand outside your front door with a candle. That's a great idea. I saw Women for Peace, I think, doing that. I can't remember the actual name of the organization, but some group in America, if you can't get down to the wherever they're meeting, then just stand on your front doorstep.
And
those sort of things are the things that will eventually get noticed. As they get noticed, the media has to report them. As they get reported, then things change. Remember, the leaders actually tack themselves onto the front of a parade. They get pushed along rather than actually lead it. Remember that. That's what always happens.
A lot of truth in that.
Well, it's absolutely fact. I mean, Nancy Pelosi wouldn't be saying what she's saying if there wasn't the backing for it. Dennis Kucinich, as nice a guy as he appears, he wouldn't be saying what he's saying if he didn't believe that there was support for him. And he knows the support's out there because he's seen people on TV and heard them on the radio stations and had letters to his and emails to his office saying how damn angry they are. Now he knows that he can talk about
it. Well, and that's part of the reason that we keep preaching this sermon about let them know you've got their back.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It doesn't mean you shouldn't support them just because they're a bunch of essentially hypocritical, like, power-hungry people. If they're willing to do what you want them to do because you'll support them for it, then great, get them to do it. Use whatever tool you've got, and if that's the politicians, use them. But that's the point, you know, we have to continually just keep heaving and shoving and shouting and moving and making it uncomfortable up there for them because they stand on our shoulders.
They do indeed. That says a lot, and that calls upon us for a whole lot in the way of...
It gets a bit scary up there if we all start to move at once.
Yeah.
But we'll leave it with that. Have a good show, Bob.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Have a great weekend.
Will do, man. Take care.
Bye now.
Family. Goodbye.
Bye. Quick break, Agnes, or to the phones? To the phones. New caller, Bob from Eureka, California. Hey, Bob. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
Well, after this conversation about the snooping, that always turns on my paranoid button.
Well, I wouldn't even call it paranoia because
I'm okay. Really.
No. I know, but you know, paranoia is the unreasonable fear that people are out to get you.
I understand it. Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get me.
I've got a bumper sticker that says "Help! Help! The paranoids are after me."
Exactly, and so I am concerned these days because with the series Rome restarting Sunday night, it reminds me of how the series ended last year with the senators stabbing Caesar for crossing the Rubicon.
Right.
And Bush has crossed the Rubicon.
Oh, I really, yeah.
And I...
How you know, which part do you define as his Rubicon?
Well, I think when he went to war with a paper that said, before you go to war, come back and check with us.
Okay.
That crossed the Rubicon right there. I mean, he's daring us with SWAT teams. There are Blackwater mercenaries in New Orleans now, today, on the ground with rifles.
Yeah, and have been since people were able to get in. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see what I mean. He's brought mercenaries onto the streets of America, locked and loaded against American citizens.
Well, yeah, and it's not just New
if
Orleans.
That isn't crossing the Rubicon with a legion. I don't know.
Well, that's
what it is.
Well, that's why I asked you where you thought his Rubicon lay, because
I mean, there may be earlier points.
Well, look, I think I think the business. I guess where I'm going is that. He's had a series of Rubicons, and no one has ever stood up. Okay,
true,
I'm certainly
true.
Not. I'm not comparing him to Caesar or wishing upon him what happened to Caesar.
No, I'm just drawing a parallel from history.
Exactly, I think that's a very valid thing to do. But you know, for my money, the illegal wiretapping was a Rubicon.
Oh, so many, man.
The Alito nomination.
You
was a Rubicon.
Yeah. Oh, how about the Roberts nomination?
Sure.
Oh, my God. Did you see the picture T-Bob put up of Roberts when he was in college?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I showed that picture to somebody who, you know, basically lived in San Francisco, not prejudiced against gays, no problem, blah, blah. I showed that picture without comment and said, what would the first thing you say about these three men is? And he said, they're queer. Man on the left, John Roberts.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a...
And I don't care if he's queer.
No,
what
right.
I care about is that he's virulently anti-freedom for people like himself.
And people not like himself.
And people not like himself. But, you know, but now here we go, pulling another parallel from history. How many Nazis were anti-gay gays?
Ernst Röhm.
You know, it was, you know, the history is rife with this stuff. These people are textbook.
And the thing, is, it's deadly.
It's very deadly. It's very, very deadly. And it would be funny if it wasn't so deadly. I mean, if we weren't at war and it was just a matter of, you know, the Republicans, like under Reagan, mostly we didn't murder gazillions of people. We only murdered tens of thousands, you know. And, but he set the stage for this. I've decided I'm not a liberal. I'm a wobbly.
Yeah, well, congrats.
The hell with liberal. I'm a wobbly. And you come and try to take my house, and I'll hit you on the head with a stick. You know, I mean, it's kind of thing.
Well,
you know?
there's another one of your Rubicons. The story we had, a month or two ago about the 90-year-old lady. The cops bust down her door, she starts shooting, and they blow her away.
They burp into my house like Gestapo. I have a place in Southern California that I bought as an investment. And I had just gotten down there with my winter supply of medicine that's legal in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
They broke into my house with no warrant, claiming that there was a report of disturbance. I later canvassed my neighbors and found out that, no, what? Huh? What are you talking about? And,
just walk right in.
God knows exactly how they knew I was there with that, but they knew that I was there with that. And and they couldn't have known because nobody knew I was down there. I didn't even tell people up here that I was going down there on that day. You know, I just kind of left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all they're going to get out of it, because if everything was legal, everything was above board, it's not a federal charge, so they, you know, it's a state court charge, legal. All it's going to do is cost me money. But it's money that I can't afford, you know?
Yeah.
I need a lawyer. I need to go back and forth between here and Southern California. I was planning on being in Southern California. I wasn't planning on being up here in this cold, rainy place for the winter. You know, it's kind of why I had a condo in Southern California, you know? And here I am trying to live the American dream. And they're even stopping that.
Well, I think they're redefining what you know, we're supposed to believe in a myth of the American dream.
Well, Tom Hartman said a good thing about that the other day, about how basically the American dream is very simple. If you follow the rules and work hard, you get a decent place to live, and you can educate your kids, and you won't lose everything because of the catastrophic illness. And anything else beyond that is bonus.
Yeah.
I don't need a Gulfstream 5. Be nice. But I don't need a Gulfstream 5.
Yeah, I need...
Especially not if they will make airport safety, you know, airplane flying as nice as it was in the late 60s and early 70s.
Oh, yeah, I've done some reading. Are you familiar with the great transoceanic flights with the giant seaplanes? You know, had sleepers just like, you know, just like a sleeper car on a railroad.
Yeah. Easy piece of cake.
Well, you know, Harry Truman flew to, I guess, maybe the Tehran conference aboard one of those things.
Their international plane flight in those days was like having a Gulfstream 5. it wasn't, you didn't just get on a Pan Am flight and go to Hong Kong. That it was, it, you, for a regular guy to do that was no more in the card than you're getting on a Gulfstream 5 with Britney on the Hoo Hoo Flashing Tour of 2007.
Oh, well, you know, don't taunt me. Okay, no, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. But no, I understand what you're getting at, and you know, the there are play, you know, we say, with regard to the folks who sponsor this network, the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, that they're building the American dream. And the fact of the matter is, one of the last places where the American dream still lives for ordinary working Joes of America is inside the labor movement.
Well,
and that's why, and that's why the war is being waged against them.
Yes, I'm a lapsed teamster myself. I'm thinking about rejoining the union, even though I don't drive anymore, just to rejoin the union.
Yeah.
You know,
just to be part of it.
Just to be part of it. You know, just to be part of it.
And, but that, you know, that manifestation you were talking about from what Tom Hartman said, and he's very much correct. That happens inside organized labor today. It doesn't happen for a Walmart worker.
No, you know, you realize that if you leave Walmart and go to work for Costco, it's a 40% pay raise plus benefits immediately.
Oh, I know. I'm a little bit weird this way, but I have written Costco corporate headquarters begging them to put a store anywhere in West Virginia and promising I will drive to shop in it.
Dude, Costco is an employee-owned, they're not really employee-owned, but there's so much employee participation in that company that it's almost like they put so much back into the local community. A friend of mine has been a piano tuner around here for years and years and years and years, and he Costco called him.
Really?
To take care of all their piano, their online piano stuff in the whole Northern California region. On the strength of that, he was able to go ahead and purchase a piano store in Chico for himself because he had a solid base.
Well, you know, Costco also manages to have very low employee turnover.
That's because they pay them well and give them benefits.
Right, and whereas Walmart and Sam's Club have a revolving door.
Plus they smell.
That
Walmart
too.
Smells. Walmart smell like, remember how Woolworth used to smell? You know?
Yeah.
Walmart, that smell of despair and poverty and, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Exactly.
That's exactly.
But what amazes me, and it's a fascinating topic you've brought up. What amazes me is the fact that I think it was Business Week that had an article a year or so ago about Costco saying, you know, their model works, their prices are comparable if not better than Sam's, their employee retention is higher, they're unionized, they are more competent, they are a more pleasurable shopping experience. Across the board, the business model works, and yet Wall Street basically dings them on their stock because they're not doing exactly what Walmart does.
Yeah, I think in the long run they'll take over from Walmart because they do what the franchise America is bad. It's a bad thing. It destroys locality. And it's not that locality is super, 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 super vital. I mean, we are standing on a stolen land. Let's not forget that. But, given that we are here, I like the fact that you are in West Virginia and you don't talk like me. You know?
Well, it's a big country, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like the fact that if I go to Chicago, they're going to talk differently still. You know, and they're proud of it. And they're not going to give up that Chicago accent for nothing.
Yeah.
Not for you or nobody else. No amount of TV is going to take that away because they're from Chicago, you know. And
you say that very well.
Well,
Chicago.
How hard?
You got to get it up into your nose, and yeah.
It's really up in your nose and back in your throat. But I was a classical singer for years, so
Kurt,
you know.
Right. Yeah, you're like a vocal chameleon.
Yeah, something like that.
But
these, you know, we've got. I think we've got to be wobblies again, Bob. you know, I think we got to be, I think we got to realize that we're all down in the Cumberland mine, and Mr. Peabody's taking it all away.
Exactly. Exactly.
And Mr. Peabody doesn't have any more right to it than Loretta Lynn's dad. But he got black lung and died when he was 35.
Boy, isn't that the
I'm
truth.
From Pennsylvania originally, so.
Okay.
Okay. Not coal.
It, right. Well, I think you're right, and that's what, like I said a little bit ago, that's why the war is, you know, for these last 6 years, such a war has been waged on labor. I mean, do you remember when guys working at McDonald's were going to be classified industrial workers?
God, manufacturing a freaking sandwich.
Yeah, but there's more stuff that we've forgotten than we remember. You know, the whole overtime debacle, this god awful National Labor Relations Board that hasn't heard an oral argument in 6 years.
Oh, what about the refusal to enforce Sherman? The last enforcement of Sherman in history was AT&T, and that's been undone.
Yeah. It's being put back together again, even as we speak. AT&T with Southwestern Bell, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it always was. Southwest Bell was always Bush family, you know, Bush crime family, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just... I'm going to slip into Bart cop mode in a minute.
That's okay. Bart's no better way to be.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. He rescued my sanity over these last few years.
Well, I found I'm trying to remember. I think I found Bart cop somewhere around 1999.
You beat me by about a year, I guess. Bart. Well, I was watching. I found it on. Obviously, I found you through him.
Wow, that's great. I'll send him a note and let him know that the advertising was paying off. We need to do some more of that.
I forget why I clicked on you one time, but I clicked on you off White Road, and you have cadences like Malloy, and I like that. And you have
well, thank you.
You have that kind of you have Malloy's attitude. You know, Randy said today that there's nobody but she does nobody in talk radio but her and Hartman and Malloy are worth a damn. And I put you in that class, but you're pretty much just on the net, and you're not as widely known. But
well, that's one of the things we're working on. There's been a conscious decision made here that we don't want to be hamstrung by the FCC.
And frankly,
the internet is a medium,
right?
Yeah,
on this broadcast,
right. And but moreover, the internet is a medium that is not. If you go into terrestrial radio, just about all talk radio operates according to the paradigm established by the Republicans,
right?
And the right wingers and Rush Limbaugh. It's it's day parted. It's a little segment of talk or telephone calls, and then you have to break for an ad by someone to, gold has never been at a higher price. You want to protect your money? Buy gold now. Yeah. You know, and I hate that. Jesus, I hate that.
I hate that, too, and I would never buy David Orr's vacuum cleaner just because of his ad.
No, and I don't want a Swedish mattress. I don't want a patent baldness medicine, and I don't want Bob to send me his herbal erection remedy either. You know, I just hate the whole paradigm, and there's got to be a better way to do it, and nobody's thinking about it.
Well, you know, the Young Turks started out kind of doing that way, and they wound themselves onto Air America, which actually may have been the wrong move. But except that paradigm still does exist, and interestingly enough, I think there's an opening to do in terrestrial radio what they did. I do gem and mineral trading, and so I drive all over the West from Santa Fe to Southern California. I have interest in the mines and the Tourmaline mines and
mm-hmm.
Palo District of San Diego County. But the so, you know, I'm in an extraction industry. I understand about you know what I mean? You have to do environmental impact reports. And you have to make sure that you're not screwing things around. And
right.
You have to deal with the NIMBYs and all of that. And so for a hippie to be in an extraction industry might seem like a contradiction in terms, but I'm contributing to the gross national product. What's Eric Fleischer doing?
True enough. It amazes me. The lack of, you know, and I had a great conversation the other night with Eric Bollert. We had some internet problems during it, but we talked a little bit about this issue of trying to educate the left. I don't, you know, right now this is a very small operation personnel wise. If it gets done, there's a small handful of people who do it. It's either me.
You hook up with Bart's radio thing.
Well, you know, I've invited Bart to join the network.
What's he hesitating for? What a fool! He should do it.
I suggested to Bart. I said, you know, I don't think it would bite into the sales of your subscription radio, but there's a, you know, he's got thousands of fans who would love to talk to him, and we'd be more than happy to sit here and produce a program for him on Saturday night.
Bart would be such a good conversationalist.
Yeah, he is.
You sit and talk to him for an hour.
Right.
One-on-one.
And I would, you know, I would.
He's just an amazing guy.
I think, you know, and I'm not talking about putting up his for pay show, but I think a call in show would be wonderful for him, and I have given that invitation.
The for pay show, the subscription show is just an extra bonus. And there's.
And you know, I've listened to it, and it's darn good, too, between him and Tommy Mack and.
And Callie Shire.
Yeah, Callie Briggs, Shire. Yeah.
Callie, right.
It's brilliantly put together. But I think if he had a chance to answer calls and actually talk to the listeners, I think it would probably sell more subscriptions.
I think so too. Maybe if
the suggestion comes from somebody besides me, then that's what'll, you know, maybe it can happen that way. But there's got to be a better way of doing some of this stuff. It amazes me that, liberal radio, where are the ads for Ben and Jerry's ice cream bars? You know, if I tune in public radio on a Saturday...
Ben and Jerry's isn't Ben and Jerry's anymore.
Well, I know, but I mean, you get the idea. I tune in public radio and I listen to Prairie Home Companion, and there will always be a message that Prairie Home Companion is brought to you by the fine folks at Toyota who want you to know about their hybrid synergy drive. Well, you know, where... is Toyota under the impression that the only people interested in hybrids are the people who listen to Prairie Home Companion, that that's the only place that demographic goes? The fact of the matter is...
Oh, they should be advertising with you.
Yeah, sure.
And
frankly, I can, because we're a small enough operation, I can set up a return on their investment. If they spend X dollars with me and sell three hybrid vehicles as a result of it, they're in positive money. They can't say that with any other advertising medium that they might select.
You know, that's probably true.
But again, I need.
We're gonna have to talk about some advertising.
Well, I need the radio sales guy with a liberal turn of mind and a liberal Rolodex.
Hmm. Yeah, my Rolodex is weak.
I have a wobbly
turn of mind.
Well, you know, I'd love to get the. I've even made contact with the, you know, with the IWW, and can't get a call back.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I go back and forth on whether or not to, you know, it's how do you pick what to do? That's always been my dilemma.
Well, our problem is
that's the story of my life in general. But how do you pick what to do? It's like
where this network is concerned, Bob. It's not so matter of how you pick what to do. There's a lot of things that we know we can do and want to do. But until funding is sufficient to hire, for instance, I don't mind telling anybody what the plan is. We need to be able to pay a professional publicist.
Right.
And we need to be able to pay a professional marketing person with a professional marketing person's Rolodex with the contacts with BBDO and all the national advertising firms who do the buying for the Toyotas of the world. I don't have any of that. I know how the system works. I know how it's all set up, but I don't have time to do it, and I don't have the skills to do it.
Right. Yeah, I definitely don't have the skills to do it. It's hard to find that kind of... It can't be that hard to find that kind of person. And, you know, nobody's ever asked for that before out loud that I can remember.
You know, but look at the...
No, I'm serious, dude. Nobody's ever asked
I know.
That
yeah,
out
that's...
loud that I can... That's the first time I can remember hearing anybody say that.
Well, I mean, I know how this works. This is all, this is like Athena popping out of the head of Zeus. Not that I'm Zeus or anything, but it's all there. I know how this all works. It's a matter of putting together the skill people to make it go. And it is frustrating. It is frustrating to the nth degree. Because it's kind of like being a chief and having no Indians, or a general with no privates. Oops, I should, no, that just doesn't work.
That's the American disease all over. Everybody thinks they're. The American dreams turned into the American disease. To
yeah.
The earlier topic, and
from an organizational standpoint, the potential of this network is almost limitless.
Well, I think starting from essentially a baseline of zero, everything is up.
Yeah,
and it's I find it. I like it that it's coming out of coal country. I just like that.
Well, yeah.
Because it's
Well, I mean, this is so much of what is good in American labor and has been good for the middle class came out of coal country. There's that brilliant, wonderful, just genius book that Jeff Biggers wrote a couple of years ago called The United States of Appalachia, and that was just a world changer for me. Just about everything that has happened good in America has had its genesis in the Appalachian Mountains, and I want to honor that.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania, too.
Well, that's the Appalachians.
Yeah, I'll sort of Poconos. But
yeah, the Poconos are part of the Appalachian chain.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just being reasonable.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at, we've got a problem. We've had problems even here in West Virginia. There are organizations that should have better sense that we've gone to, and they say, well, we only want to reach West Virginians. We don't want to reach anybody else anywhere else. And you know, what do you say to that guy? You know, thou fool, and you move on.
You're right. But there's got to be, there has to be, in those mountains in West Virginia, there have to be other minerals besides coal.
Oh, gosh, yes. We sit smack dab on top of what's called the Big Engine Reserve. It's the largest natural gas reserve east of the Mississippi.
Oh, that's coal country. There's natural gas all over.
Sure, and there's oil. There's all.
Before
there was coal, there was the salt sands. The entire chemical valley of the Kanawha Valley was founded on salt and brine wells. EI DuPont de Nemours set up down there in the middle of that country because it contained all of the necessary chemicals they needed for producing a variety of products. The carbide came in and established a humongous plant.
Sure.
Again, because of the availability of the naturally occurring minerals and chemicals.
Right. And my point is, we can get beyond the petroleum. There's other minerals still,
Well,
one of my pastimes has been playing these SimCity type games, and one of them that I played quite a bit was called Terra, where you're building the Nile Valley in 3,000 BC.
Oh, I know that one, yeah.
And gemstones, gold, and copper become very important.
Sure.
And interestingly enough, that's available in America. There's like way more than you'd think. And it's far less intrusive than, obviously taking the top off a mountain to get the coal underneath is a really intrusive way of doing things. And there's ways past that. One of my great, I think, with my greatest If I Were King ideas is, why not put 3K solar on every roof in America?
Sure.
It would create jobs. It would eliminate the need for daytime charging of the grid, because the grid could be charged from every roof. Fossil fuel plants shut down all over America. Dams come down.
Well, and there you have your answer.
You don't have, well, no, I understand that. But you, there's a liberal industry. There's a company in Iowa called PowerFilm that I haven't contacted them yet, but their website is really interesting. They've got a 1 mil thick base solar cell that they manufacture 13 inches wide. It rolls up to 2,400 feet long. It's a roll-to-roll manufacturing process where they start with the roll of the substrate on one end, and it goes through their process, and it's rolled up solar cells on the other end.
And there's money to be had in that. That puts the lie to this. And I don't know if you've heard it, but it's a big meme inside the right wing these days that environmentalists are just reconstituted communists. They don't want anybody to make any money.
Oh, the communists. Yeah. Yes, Joe Hill was a communist too. And blah 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 blah. I'm a capitalist. I extract minerals from the ground and turn them into gemstones and make them into jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in it for the money, and I'm successful enough that I have two homes and a paid-for car, and I'm just a hippie with my hair is down the middle of my back.
God love you.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm a businessman.
Sure, and you've got to pay attention to the things that businessmen pay attention to, and you've got to make money, and you've got to be successful at it, or you're not doing what you're doing anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
And in many ways, that's...
The cops that busted me in Southern California don't seem to understand that the profit margin on a tourmaline is infinite compared to the profit margin on marijuana.
Well, yeah.
There's no money in it anymore. The market's flooded out here. The legality of it means that everybody's growing.
The study that came out not too long back that indicated that it really is, it's official now, marijuana and hemp really are America's number one cash crop.
They are, and they grow some pretty good stuff in your neck of the woods, I'll tell you that.
Tennessee, Kentucky, California, Kentucky, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you what, I hate to break this off, but we've got to roll. We are at the top, and I've got to hit some more phone calls. I hope I'll hear from you again. It's been a great conversation.
It's been fun.
All right, take care, and have a good weekend.
Okay, bud.
Bye now. And more of your calls when we come back. A couple of lines open, 877-443-2366. I hope you guys enjoy this as much as I do. Because, I mean, this is... just kind of makes your blood feel like it's running better. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Defense Secretary Robert Gates and General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, testified before the Senate Armed Services Committee today. Gates said the first phase of President Bush's new war plan will start in early February. The new chairman of the committee, Senator Carl Levin, said the troop increase in Iraq is a flawed strategy and grave mistake, but Senator John McCain said Mr. Bush's plan is necessary and that it would give the U.S. and Iraqis the best chance of success. Anti-war protests are being held in several U.S. cities in response to President Bush's plan to send thousands more troops to Iraq. The protesters say Mr. Bush is not listening to the will of the American people, who in the most recent polls are against the surge. On Capitol Hill today, the House passed legislation that would require the federal government to negotiate with drug manufacturers to provide lower prices for Medicare patients, thus despite a threat by President Bush to veto the bill. In Washington, White House officials are denying that the U.S. is preparing for military action against Iran and Syria. Concerns about a potential attack were raised Wednesday night when President Bush said he wanted to interrupt the flow of support into Iraq. Spokesman Tony Snow says Mr. Bush was talking about defending American forces within Iraq. In Athens, Greece, the U.S. embassy came under attack early today. It was struck by a rocket fired from across the street, and authorities say the attack probably came from a domestic terrorist group. No one was injured, and the U.S. ambassador said there was minimal damage. The Homeland Security Department says that this fall, it will begin unmanned surveillance aircraft patrols of the Canadian border. They'll patrol the airspace day and night, checking for potential terrorists. Today's edition of the Washington Post reports that a small group of U.S. military personnel went into southern Somalia following Monday's U.S. airstrike on suspected Al-Qaeda targets. They reportedly went in to determine who was killed. The trial for suspected Al-Qaeda member Jose Padilla will be delayed by 3 months. That will allow more time for him to complete a mental competency exam. And a cold snap in California could severely impact the state's $1 billion citrus crop. Temperatures for tonight and tomorrow night are expected to be in the teens in the inland areas. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
The Centers for Disease Control is warning parents not to give over-the-counter cold medicine to children under the age of 2. The CDC says that over the last few years, those medicines have killed 3 children. It turns out retailers did have a good holiday season after all. The Commerce Department reports that December retail sales were up 0.9%. A market research group reports that video game sales last year in the U.S. set a record. More than $12 billion were spent on software, hardware, and accessories. Advanced Micro Devices saw its shares plummet 10%. That's after the company admitted that it sold more items because the prices had fallen. Japanese electronics company Sharp plans to construct a $66 million factory in Mexico and renovate another in Osaka. That move is aimed at boosting production of LCD televisions. Ford is shutting down its Indianapolis plant next year and laying off 1,700 workers. The automaker says the factory is outdated and too large. And Toyota may build 5 more plants in North America in the next 10 years. Toyota is expected to overtake GM this year as the nation's largest automaker. Light sweet crude settled at $53.87 today. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was up 41 points at 12,556. NASDAQ up 18, S&P 500 up 7. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Great conversation going on inside the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room right now. Centering on moonshine. Don't know how that got started. But, you know, my favorite reference to moonshine is Jimmy Buffett's rendition of the of Lord Richard Buckley's God's Own Drunk. Talking about how the still stood up there on the mountaintop.
well, never mind. Not going to do it. It's probably in the song library somewhere if Agnes wanted to find it. But let's go to the phone. Susan has been waiting forever and ever and ever, and I'm sorry. Thank you for waiting, Susan.
No problem. By the way, when you talk about moonshine, you're talking about some of my relatives.
And mine.
Yeah. You go back far enough in my family, they were busily infesting the hills and the hollers just about where you are.
Well, the old saying is, the English came and built a house, the Germans came and built a barn, the Scottish came and built a still.
You bet. Okay, got a couple things for you.
Yes.
First of all, you remember the story of the immigration raid in Colorado?
Utah, yes.
No, this was in Colorado.
Well, it was a broad sweep, but yeah, the part I would, yeah.
And they hauled off everybody, but they wouldn't bother to say where they went.
Yeah, the Swift meatpacking plant employees,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Dateline Denver. A federal judge demanded Friday that U.S. immigration officials disclose the whereabouts of 265 people arrested in a meatpacking raid last month in Colorado. The post is up on the blog.
So the order has been issued but not complied with yet?
Well, it was only put up less than a half hour ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's according to the Associated Press. Now, whether or not immigration, also known as by the fishy name of ICE,
right?
They just love these little names, is going to knuckle under is another matter entirely, but a judge has laid down the order. By the way, the people who brought the suit, the action that caused this judge to issue this order,
mm-hmm.
were union attorneys.
Well, not surprising, and good on them.
Yeah.
Well, the fact of the matter is, a lot of those people who were rounded up in that raid, as was documented, were union workers, members of the United Food and
yes.
Commercial Workers Union. Sure.
Right. My other reason for calling is to bring you up to date on what I call the saga of the senators.
Oh, yes?
Yes. After Bush's speech, and I finished screaming that night, I went to bed.
Yeah, and that was good cause for screaming, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I got up the next morning and got on the Internet, and the first thing I see is that U.S. forces had violated diplomatic immunity. So then the screaming starts again.
Makes your throat a little raw after a while, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And then I decided, well, bag this. This isn't getting accomplished. So I unlimbered the Skype and started calling senators. I said, bag the House. They're all ready to impeach this dude. We need somebody to convict him. So I started in on the Senate. Republicans, Democrats, right on down the line. What was interesting was I called, Clinton's office, They were nice, polite, passed the word on. And when I called, I said, I'm calling the entire Congress. I'm from Oregon. I would go in this little deal. And I would say, this man's going to kill us all. Please, if you get a bill of impeachment, vote to convict. He's crazy. He's gone around the bed.
Okay.
So I did not mislead any of these senators. Even the Republicans were polite. I called Chambliss's office.
Ooh, ick.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll be more than happy to pass this on to the senator. Brownback's office, same thing. There was one office where I did get hung up.
Just outright hung up on?
Huh.
Who?
Wait for it.
What? Okay.
Senator Benjamin L. Cardin from Maryland.
The new senator that, helped us go over the top.
Yes, the Democrat.
And he just hung up on you?
He hung up on me. His office hung up on me.
Were you, like, raving or anything?
No.
I mean, I can't imagine you raving, but... Yeah, I mean, I think you've got the right approach to this. You know, be nice to them, be polite, state your case, and at what point in the process did they just hang up on you?
They said I started in on my little thing. I said, you know, I understand you're very, very busy today, so I'll speak very quickly. I don't want to take you up, and started in on my little speech, and about halfway through it.
Click.
Click.
That's insane.
Yeah. What got me was even sexy channelists off. Now, you know as well as I do that they probably thought, hung off the phone and said, my God, you wouldn't believe the weirdo that just called. But at least they were polite.
Yeah, right. They were going to ignore you later, but pretend they were paying attention to you in the present tense. Yes.
Right. They were polite. You know, I'm going to continue with Rick Simmons. I'm not quite done. But.
Right, and you might want to, you know, you never know. sometimes these little phone answerer people, they're interns, they're whatever. That's a little bit shocking about Cardin. Of course, I'll probably get an email from one of our Maryland listeners who will explain to me that no, it isn't.
it just freaked me out big time.
Well, you know, keep doing what you're doing, though.
Just blew me away. Anyway, there's one other thing.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's two. First of all, the Federal Way thingy. That's my old stomping ground. Federal Way is Fundy Heaven.
Oh, is it?
Big time.
Well, I mean, where is it?
It's south of Seattle. It's one of the bedroom communities to kind of surround Seattle. It's, you know, kind of one of those deals. It's suburbia.
Ish.
You know,
well, apparently there's something in the water there that makes people stupid.
Yeah, its other claim to fame was it was one of the biggest dumping grounds in creation for the Green River Killer.
Oh, okay. Okay, I know where you're talking about now.
Yeah. Also, you mentioned pretty good privacy. I happened to catch a 60 Minutes deal on that. The guy who created that program, it's an encryption program, he was told by the DOD, you cannot give this to other governments because it would give them, you know, a leg up on us because we can't crack this encryption program. As far as I know, they still can't. Well, this guy happened to believe in privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So he put it up on the internet and said, anybody who wants it, here it is.
Okay.
I don't know how it came out. The U.S. charged him with treason.
You're kidding.
Yep. Look up 60 Minutes. It was on 60 Minutes.
Okay, I will.
That's where I found it. It was quite a while ago, so I don't know how it came out. But they were going to charge him with treason.
Well, that's just nuts.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, I know you've got other calls, so I'm going to let you go.
Well, I appreciate it, Susan. Keep making the calls, will you?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like my big flapping mouth.
And I'm glad to know that the union lawyers are out there standing up for these people, because an America where George Bush's people can just round up people for nothing. Yeah, the original story that we had a fit about involved a woman who at one of the Swift meatpacking plants in, I believe, Utah, where the means of determining whether you were an illegal alien or not was based upon
skin.
Yeah, if you were light skinned versus dark skinned.
Yeah, what I want to know is how many of those kids in that prison are children.
I don't think the article we had was specific on it, but there are, yeah. And as soon as they're big enough, they get prison clothes to wear. How charming.
Oh, yeah, you know, just disgusting.
I know.
I find myself watching that movie, V for Vendetta, a lot.
Yeah, I know. Because there's a lot of, well.
Yeah.
Right. Susan, thank you very kindly.
You have a real good weekend, and blessed be, hon.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly, and you too. Let's see, and rolling along to Sarge. Sarge has also been waiting a long time. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, you know, this has been so interesting, I'm almost sorry I called in. Heck, this is some good radio, buddy.
Well, you know,
nice radio, pal.
Even a blind hog like me pulls an acorn out of the trough every now and then.
Well, I tell you what, Miss Rhodes, you can kiss my rear end, baby, because I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to get no better radio than what we're getting right now.
Well, you know, I didn't hear the comment or anything, Sarge.
Oh, heard it. In fact, I heard it firsthand. Because I was talking to her screener right after that comment.
Well, you know, Sarge, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have time for ego games.
I don't either.
I don't have time for one-upsmanship. I want, you know, you can count on probably... two sets of hands, the number of liberal talkers there are out there in the country today.
I'm not going.
I want there to be 100. I want there to be 1,000. I want people not to be able to hit scan on their radio dial without hearing somebody telling the truth about what's going on in this country
That's
today.
Right. And I tell you what, it's like I've said, and you've heard me say it. I've said it on Nova M. I've said it on my voice show. I've said it on so many different shows. I don't care who gives the truth as long as they're given the truth.
Well, and that's what it's got to be about.
And we are not, you know, Nova M has told me this, you have told me this, but we are not in competition with each other. Nova M is not in competition with Head On. Head On, with Nova M, God bless them, let's go for it, let's support them. Same way with Head On to Nova M. And why this egotist thinks that she can get away with making such a ridiculous statement, I really am embarrassed for the lady, because that was a really, really anti-liberal statement.
Well, do you ever, and I'm guessing maybe no, Sarge, and you're the better for it, but if you ever listen to right-wing radio...
No.
you'll hear Flush Flimball, the oxymoron. And he'll say things like, with talent on loan from God. And, you know, just shameless self-promotion. Now, we've got Mark Levine on this network. There is a right-wing freak named Mark Levin, okay? And he refers to himself as Mark Levin, the great one. And there's, you know, and then...
That's not our Mark Levine.
No. There's that goober Michael Savage. And, you know, Savage Nation. And it's shameless posturing. Yeah.
Glenn Beck.
Well, yeah, and it's all shameless posturing and self-promotion that is born of psychological weakness, Sarge.
Well, you know, I had the pleasure of talking with Sean Ryan,
mm-hmm.
OBM Radio.
Yeah, we talked to him on the show the other night. Good guy.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy, and I talked to him today just before I called Randy's show, and I called in. I don't call Randy because one time Randy called me a liar on the air, even though I was giving her a first-hand report. Excuse me, Randy. I'm a liar, and I'm giving you a first-hand report. Excuse me? You know, but anyway. So I don't call her. I don't call her. But today I decided I was going to break down and give her a call because I had some important stuff I wanted to talk about. Because she had mentioned George Bush as a murderer. And I said, you know, she's right. He is a murderer. And I can point to several cases where this man has murdered people right here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast by his policies.
Yeah.
And so when I talked to her bubblehead screener, the screener said, I told her, I said, I am Sarge. You've heard from Mike Malloy's show. And I made sure I put that in because I found these screeners have no more idea of a liberal viewpoint than my dogs do.
Yeah, just showing up, getting a check.
And so I made sure I mentioned that I was associated with Malloy, which I am. You know, I'm not going to deny it, and I'm proud of it because I think Malloy's a wonderful man. But anyway, she said, I told her, I said, you can tell, I want to tell Randy that you can come down here to Jackson County, Mississippi, and you can see people dying because of the results of this Republican Party, and you can start right with this governor go to Hell Barber, and you can see the death and the destruction and the lives being torn apart and the children who will be ruined for the rest of their lives because of this action. And I want to tell Randy what is going on down here. And, you know, she said, we'll pass that on to Randy. Bye. Boom! Hung up on me. Well, I called her right back. And I told her, I said, look, I don't appreciate you hanging up on me, but let me tell you, I wanted to tell you that I wanted to talk to Randy because I want to tell her some firsthand knowledge. I want to tell her some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't appreciate the statements you made concerning liberal talk because Mike Malloy is a personal friend of mine, and I love the man like a brother. Bob Kincaid is a personal friend of mine, and I love him like a brother. And I don't appreciate the comments that you have made, and I'm sure none of either Tom nor Mike, either one, would appreciate that.
Well, see, I don't necessarily want to get into a lot of gossip, but I remember back when Air America first went on the air. Okay, of course, IE America, where Mike had been prior to that, was gone, on air, after Air America had started, I happened to be listening one day, and I heard Randy say, "Who is this Mike Malloy guy?"
Yeah, and you know what?
Yeah, and then went on and tarred and feathered him. And yeah. but look, you know the
and you know Mike. I don't know her. Mike Malloy actually trained Randy Rhoads.
Well, I have no idea about that.
But the
bottom line for me, Sarge, is that people in radio are going to do things for motives that, to which I am not privy.
Yeah.
And they're going to say things from a self-promotional standpoint. Now, if it's true that she said that the only liberals on the radio were her, Tom Hartman, and Mike, I'm guessing that's going to come as a real shock to Sam Cedar.
And to
Cenk Uygur.
You know what I'm going to do, and I'd already planned to do this, so you didn't spur me into doing it. But I hate to do it. God, I hate to do this. I'm going to really make a sacrifice, but I'm going to go to Walmart because that's the only place I can buy it, and buy me a microphone. And I'm going to go back, and I'm going to download that program. And I'm going to isolate her saying that, and I'm going to put it on unreportednews.net. And I'm going to give you the story about her screener. I'm going to tell you the problems I've had in the past with this lady.
Well, you know, Sarge, be careful about that, okay? I mean, I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do, okay? But I, for one, want the message to get out there. I don't like that comment. I'm not going to make a comment like that. I'm certainly not going to. I don't know. Maybe it was a desperate attempt to create a Rosie versus Trump situation in liberal radio.
A failing network.
Well, you know, but
Air America is in bankruptcy. Okay?
But
a failing network.
Yeah, but there have been a lot of airlines that went into bankruptcy, and they still got planes in the sky. It doesn't mean they're going to shut off. But what I'm getting at, Sarge, is that I am going. I really believe what I say. You know, I'm sorry if that remark was made. I think it's probably miscast and misguided because the fact of the matter is we have got to have the message getting out there.
And we've got
to get it as far and wide as we possibly can. And for my part, I don't have time for to be part of a circular firing squad.
Well, now, here's what I...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, here's what I was going to tell Ms. Ego before... her screener wouldn't allow me on, was these people down here have had one lucky break recently. A judge ruled in favor of the people in Biloxi against State Farm Insurance.
Yes, indeed.
And I think this is a key move because this is going to open up some hope for some people, but look how long it has been, and even now with that is going.
Well, and I went and read the opinion, and the thing is, it's being hailed in the media as just straight up victory. It's not.
No, it's not.
It has to do with the quality of proof, and the opinion the judge states that State Farm did not put on sufficient proof to allow jurors to differentiate between wind and water damage or flood damage versus non-flood damage, and that as a consequence of that, the judgment was rendered against them.
Then let me tell you what else is going on.
Okay.
We've got this governor, Hale Barber, that is, okay, you know Jim Yancey. I know Jim Yancey. Your listeners know Jim Yancey.
Sure.
Okay, and we all know that if you give Jim Yancey 10 cents, all 10 cents is going to the people.
Right.
Okay, this governor denied him a grant because of duplication of services, and I found out that grant went to a crony of his. 20% of that money finally made it down to the people of Jackson County.
Well, see, that story needs to be written out in detail and spread around, and if you do that, we will certainly help, Sarge.
And did you know Miss Rhodes would not even let me tell that?
Well, I can't.
Don't comment on that. I don't want.
No, to. I can't speak for what gets on the air and what doesn't get on the air. We've got a philosophy here that if you call and you want to talk, I think I'm probably good enough at what I do that I can probably work with any subject that's brought to the table. There are hosts out there that if they're talking about X, they want you to talk about X and they don't want to talk about Y. That's why we call this conversation radio, Sarge.
But you know, it's just I just rubbed me the wrong way. I'm sorry.
Well, I understand that, and it would rub me the wrong way too.
Especially when I have seen Nova M Radio, Head On Radio, put together such a successful thing as this Mississippi Mission, which has already in the last—it hadn't even been a week. It's not even a week old yet, and we've already raised $4,000 in cash. We have one truck full of stuff. We're fixing to have another full. We've got people, Bessie and Cassie and Texas and TSM and all them who are going to fill up a truck on their own. We just got to get them a driver to get it down here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all coming from Nova M and Head On Radio. And the effort that these people are making is exemplary. And it just aggravates me because, someone wants to play ego with this thing. I'm sorry.
Well, it's just a different model and it's a different world, Sarge. It really is. Well,
listen, Bob, I'm going to let you go, man. And I'm sorry. I had to rant.
That's okay.
Upset me too bad.
You're more than welcome to, Sarge. You know that.
You guys are Head On. I know y'all are making one hellacious sacrifice because I know y'all are living on air. And I think.
Now, we're living on love, man.
Well, that's true, too. But, you know, you guys are making one heck of a sacrifice, and it just kind of rubs my feathers wrong. And being a Golden Eagle, you just don't like to rub our feathers.
Well,
you know, the Ohio Bobcats found that out. Hey, I got to leave
them. All right. You do that, Sarge. We'll talk to you later. All right, and where do we go next, Agnes? Oh, Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Well, remains to be seen. I tell you what, one thing I tell you, and he may get mad about it, but one thing you got to understand, the sergeant's going to have to understand, is not everybody does their show the same way.
Well, that's, yeah, and
you and Mike will talk to somebody for a good period of time, and that's fine, and I love it. But like I say, there are other people like Randy Rhodes or Stephanie Miller or, you know, different people out there, even Tom Hartman, who you get on with them and you're on for 2 minutes. That's it, unless you're a guest.
Yeah.
I mean, they give you a couple of minutes to make your point and you're off. And I mean, that's okay. That's the way they do it, but they don't, you know, they don't treat anybody else different. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just something you have to accept.
No, it is a matter of style. It's also a matter of formatics.
Sure.
It's a matter of how much of the hour has to be dedicated to running commercial matter. There's a lot to go in that goes into that.
I mean, if Sarge wants to get through to her, that's fine. I'd suggest writing an email. You know, write it all out, you know, and explain it. Say you'd like to come on and talk to her, and she might invite him on.
Yeah. Possibility.
I mean, that may be the way to do that, but just like, because like I say, I don't think going through the screener is going to do it, because the screener wants to know, you know, A, B, C, what you're wanting to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's A, B, and C? What are your issues?
Yeah, that's why That's why we try not to use a screening protocol. Somebody's got to answer the phone so we know who's on the other end of the line.
I know.
But apart from that, it is. It's about conversation, and it's about trying to keep it freewheeling and create that national dialogue.
Exactly the same.
Well, exactly. Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like if you were to get through. I sometimes in the morning I like listening to. I just can't listen to them while they're on, but I listen to them on the repeat. Because now I've been like I've always liked them before they got on Air America, but I like listening to the Young Turks.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a different style. You just have to accept that. Okay. Now onto the day's work.
Okay.
Let's get to this. Okay, I've decided now that I think I'm going to call the new plan "Stay the Course with Steroids."
Stay the course on steroids.
I mean, they aren't changing anything. It's just throw 24,000 more people into it. That's it.
Well, yeah, and you can tell the desperation that's involved in it. I've got the Limbaugh clip here. If we get to it, we may not. The desperation involved because, you know, Limbaugh was out there today screaming, "Barbara Boxer tried to lynch Condi Rice in front of the American people." You know, oh my.
I sent you a bunch of that stuff from Media Matters. Oh God, that and the the one from the San Francisco radio station. But the liberal bloggers,
yeah, KSFO, right? And I read that, Luke, and especially the line about these people who are slandering me. And that's the thing about a right winger, they'll throw around words that they don't understand, you know, words that are outside whatever passes for their mind. You know, so I had to run to law.com and get the official definition of slander. Oral defamation in which someone tells one or more persons an untruth about another, which untruth will harm the reputation of the person defamed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can play the audio, and it hasn't been monkeyed with.
No.
Where this nasty, nasty woman says, we've got a target.
A bullseye.
We've got a bullseye painted between Nancy Pelosi's big old eyes, or whatever it is she said. Mm-hmm. And so it can't be slander.
Well, you know,
moreover, she's dumber than a box of rocks, Luke, because it's not slander in the first place. Darn stupid woman. If it's anything, which it ain't, it's libel, because libel is printed, and the stuff that Spocko did is online, and it is written word. Slander has to be spoken. Yeah, I hate these ignorant right-wingers who sit there and cry, oh, you're, woe is me, the liberals are after you. The bug spray.
Well, the one I always like, there's one when... back a long time ago when O'Reilly first went after Oberman was, when he was doing the, as I call it, the Ted Baxter response
mm-hmm.
to him one time, and he said, gee, Bill, I guess repeating your own words back to you is kind of taking a cheap shot at you, isn't it? it's like, I'm sorry, but when they sit there and play your own words back at you, then you're saying you're lying? You know? But, oh, no. Did you pick up the one thing in the story in the new plan that I heard say about this, and I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, you're right, about the they're sending the Patriot air defense system over to
I did see that.
And it's like, who's got planes? The Iraqis haven't had planes in 15 years.
And the Iranians can't fly theirs because they can't get the parts.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, who are we sending this over for? I mean, is Atlantis coming back up, and we don't have to get ready for them? What?
Well, you know, my guess is that this is it's a subtle message to Hezbollah.
Yeah.
Because Hezbollah does have rockets, and they've got a sort of a low rent missile, and that's probably where that is intended to address.
I think one other thing we got to start doing. This is not the Bush plan. This is the Bush/McCain plan.
I'd even take Bush out of it. It's the McCain doctrine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We got to start reminding people, this is John McCain.
Yeah, let John McCain own this thing.
Yeah. So it's one of those things we need to start reminding people that every time you talk about it. This is the Bush-McCain or the McCain plan that George Bush has grabbed hold of, run up in front of the parade and said, hi there. You know, did you see the thing? I couldn't link it to you because the fellow doesn't have a link. So one of the blogs, I can't remember what starts with an A, but the guy was showing how this speech the other night was a virtual copy.
Yeah, attitude. I've got it sitting right here. Attitude. And,
attitude. That's it.
Yeah, that's Will Bunch, and he's.
That was amazing when you sit there and look at all the things, and I say you just take out Iran and Iran and Syria and put in Laos and Thailand, and it's the same speech.
Yeah, it's wholesale plagiarism. But then again,
why am I not surprised at that, Luke? I'm guessing the poor man, well, probably,
well, I mean,
he got through college on plagiarism, okay?
I mean, you're sitting there going, though, yeah, it's like we always complain. Why isn't the mainstream media out there going, you know, look, here's the LBJ speech, let's play that. Now here, let's play the stupid guy. And, you know, my golly, it's the same wording. I mean, God, you know. Oh, did you get the thing about the thing going on in Memphis this weekend? The media.
Yeah, I would love to be down there, but it's just not possible.
I know. But and I'll do my one.
Moyers is going to be there. I think, yeah. Molly Ivins is going
to
be there.
I think you can go onto their site and stream some of their stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the meetings. But did Agnes tell you about the fun thing here locally?
No.
Tennessee State Supreme Court came down today. Amazingly enough, the charter stands, so 8 of our county commissioners, the sheriff, the tax registrar, the register of deeds, they're all now term limited. Congratulations! Because our sheriff believes he is the mayor. You know, he's one of these ones that...
You know, there's medicine for that, Luke.
Oh, no. Well, he's one that essentially has embezzled money. Because he says, I'm the sheriff and I can decide what happens to it.
Now, is Tennessee set up the way West Virginia is, where the offices of the treasurer are also vested in the sheriff?
No, but what happened was, on this was, our dear sheriff decided, you know what, that DARE money? Well, I'm the sheriff. I'm in charge of it. I can spend it on whatever I want to. So, like, he
that's nice.
To the dare money and, like, bought himself a couple of helicopters.
This is, you know, is this where we play the sound bite of Mel Brooks saying, it's good to be the king?
Well, that's where you start hearing the sound from, the flight of the Valkyries, you know. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice.
Well, I say it's going to be interesting. And sometimes if you talk to David, I'm just curious if he hears anything over Nashville way. Because, you know, as I say, I told a friend of mine today, I said, we go outside, I didn't want, we can hear the sheriff screaming from here.
Is he a Repub?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, he's a real right-wing one. Like I say, he believes he honestly has been sheriff for forever, and he believes he's mayor. He believes
is that,
mayor
not, is that Knox County?
Yeah, this fellow named Tim Hutchinson.
Okay.
But like I say, he believes he's above the mayor, that the mayor's just there temporary. He's there full-time.
What is this, divine right of sheriffs?
Yeah. So, well, because it used to be the sheriffs weren't term limited.
Oh, yeah.
So they could stay forever. You know, sort of like, well, the mayor has to go after two terms. I'm still here.
Mayors may come and mayors may go, but the sheriff goes on forever.
Well, I've got the sound.
Oh, God, that's straight out of King John era England.
Yeah. The high sheriff, yes, indeed.
Exactly.
Well, I was sitting here, I've got the sound off, and I see O'Reilly's sidekick is on.
Oh, who's that?
Geraldez.
Oh, please.
Well, sort of like, you know,
don't do that to me.
Geraldo's show goes off as one of the old being carried on syndication, so back on O'Reilly he goes. Sort of like, this apparently is his new hideout.
Life support system for a mustache.
Then when they're done, the life support system for the haircut comes on after them.
Well, see, that's, you know, the fox is on life support. I mean, you did catch Condi's little comment the other day, didn't you?
Oh, yes. But the one I'm loving, though, is every time you turn around, and like I say, and I enjoy, of course, always watching Oberman, and he's sitting there telling you how their numbers are up and Fox's numbers are dropping. And I'm going, yes, keep telling me these things.
Well, that's why Condi comes out and says things like, my fox guys, I love every single one of them.
It's like, that, and I like to say, I need to, this weekend, I guess, write a new letter to ABC. Tell them what I think of them again.
Yeah, or, you know, you could get...
I have to go through and take out the bad words, put in different ones.
You could get hold of Enid Cipher, or whatever the hell her name was. Oh, my God.
Well, like I said, I figure I'm not going to go through her. I'm going straight at ABC.
Yeah.
It's like, look, after past 9/11, after all this other stuff, I mean, you all are just saying, please go away. I mean, just put the banner...
Look, there's a lot of things to be pissed off at ABC about.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really shallow here. What? Two words. Brent Musburger. Anybody that gives that man a job. I mean, during the national championship football game,
mm-hmm.
I was between here
and the hospital. And I was listening to it on the radio, and I thought, wow, Brent's been demoted, because they had Brent doing the radio. It's like, I can't get away from him. And then I get to the hospital and turn it on for Dad, and I realized, darn thing's on Fox. I'm here to tell you, it is the first time I have ever been happy to turn on a television program on Fox. Because Brent Musburger wasn't there. Now, granted, those dudes were rooting for Ohio State about as hard as they possibly could.
I know. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, you're about halfway through it and you go, there is somebody else playing in this game, isn't there?
Yeah, the guys that are winning.
Yeah. I've dealt with people like that before, you know what I mean? You're about halfway through the game going, you don't think you can mention that there is another team on the field yet? You know?
I know.
And I'll tell you what, bud, it's quarter till. Let me let you go.
All right, you have a good weekend, Luke.
You too.
All right, take care.
See you, bye.
Bye now. Tell you what, let's do go, just because it's fun. Just because kind of Sleazy Rice loves Fox and is in desperate need of a defense, let's go to the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, who is all up in arms over the here's the setup. You probably already know this. Kinda Sleazy was in front of Congress yesterday and today, and Barbara Boxer went after her. My God, somebody had better. I mean, this ignorant woman. I'm tired of this business of, you know, Condoleezza Rice is a genius. She's a genius the way Wile E. Coyote is a genius. Hello, my name is Wile E. Coyote, super genius. Please surrender now so that you will save me the trouble of killing you later. You know, for all I know, Condoleezza Rice got to Capitol Hill on rocket skates. She's a Soviet studies Dr. Rice. She's Dr. Rice the way I'm Dr. Bob, okay? Dr. Rice. Probably can't say where's my burqa in Arabic. Okay, fire up Flimball. He's all mad. It'll happen in a minute.
Barbara Boxer hit below the ovaries yesterday with Condoleezza Rice.
Below the ovaries, isn't that cute?
During the hearings that they were conducting on the president's new strategy. Listen to this. Condoleezza Rice says, I could never and I can never do anything to replace any of those lost men and women in uniform or the diplomats. Some of...
Madam Secretary, please, I know you feel terrible about it. That's not the point. I was making the case as to who pays the price for your decisions. Now, the issue is, who pays the price? Who pays the price? I'm not going to pay a personal price. My kids are too old and my grandchild is too young. You're not going to pay a particular price, as I understand it, with an immediate family. So who pays the price? The American military and their families.
That is... I don't know where to start with this. Folks, this is...
Here it comes.
Well, it's unbelievable. This is...
The OxyContin's kicking in.
How can you even describe this kind of thinking? Here you have a rich white chick with a huge big mouth trying to lynch this an African American woman right before Martin Luther King Day, hitting below the ovaries here. What about the childless Gloria Steinem? Drum her out of the feminist movement?
Oh, pause this for a minute.
I'm going to tell you, I was joking the other day about...
Someday they're going to do... Well, they've begun them. A full-scale study of ditto heads. And we're going to find out if this mad babbling actually means anything to them. You know, and I know, that the point of Senator Boxer's comment was the fact that no one in that room was paying an emotional, physical, moral, philosophical, or blood price for her mistakes. And see, that's the reason Limbaugh has to do this, because the essence of Boxer's comment is, I was making the case as to who pays the price for your decisions. You know, all this business about, oh, we've got to attack Iran. Jesus, they're going to have one nuclear weapon while Israel has 1,000. You know, but the fact is, there's a mean... Ahmadinejad is not going to get hurt if we attack Iran. The mullahs, the ayatollahs, the wasasolas, they're not going to get hurt. Some poor dude that mans a banana stand on downtown, you know, on Khomeini Avenue is going to get hurt. And Condoleezza Rice is never going to get hurt. She will die at a hateful 107 years old. In a mansion somewhere. She will never, ever, 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 ever see the consequences of her decisions. And that was what it was about. But, you know, look at these pitiful fools. He references Martin Luther King Day? Because someone, without regard to whether male or female, drum Gloria Steinem out of the feminist movement for not having children. Bug spray. It's not about whether, it's about whether the stuff hits home. She didn't say you've never had any children. She said you don't have any immediate family in this fight. Good God. This kind of thinking is exactly where we're headed with Democrats. If you haven't done anything, you can't comment on it. You can't participate in it. And so, according to Barbara Boxer, since Condoleezza Rice has nothing personal at stake in this, then her policy can't be trusted. Well, that's true! Her boss has never heard a shot fired in anger. I was sitting out in the front yard of the farmhouse once upon a time putting together a swing set, and our next-door neighbor was drunker than Adam's off-ox and decided to sight in his 22. Next thing I know, there's bullets running by my head. And it makes you mad. And I stood, you dumb bastard! Now I gotta change my shorts! Bullets flying past your head are scary. And he wasn't even mad at me. He was just loaded. Hey, Bob, come on down. Got me a new 22. You want to shoot it too? Huh? Let's go to the phones. David's calling from Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hey, let's go quail hunting with Cheney.
I know what it feels like.
Yeah, I guess you...
Or close.
You know, I'm the bear of little brain, and I heard Luke say something about David Nashville Sheriff, and I was just, you know.
Well, I
was typing at the time, so, you know, that there went the brain. All I could do is see the keys and hope to hit most of the rifle.
Not multitasking, are you?
I'm not very good at that stuff.
No,
I'm the guy that they wrote the joke about piss and wind your watch. You know, the two things ain't going to happen at the same time.
Oh, God. The Tennessee Supreme Court decided today that the Knox County charter stands, and those are term limits.
Oh, okay.
And he was wondering if there had been any fallout there in Davidson County.
That has not made any sort of headline here, but I do know, as a resident of Knox County in the way, way back, once E.B. Bowles left the sheriff's office in Knox County, it's never been the same since. He was a guy that was sheriff and owned East Tennessee's largest banana import business at the same time. True story.
It has to be. You can't get a combination like that in fiction.
Nope. And even the campaign posters the first time he was elected, vote for E.B. Bowles, the banana man, Knox County's best sheriff. True story.
God, I love American politics.
You can't make it up. So, no, I have not heard much about it.
Well, this is, after all, Tennessee, the state that gave us Mr. Crump.
Oh.
Ooh.
What? Tell you what.
Was that good of me?
That's very good. That's Shelby County politics at its finest. Oh, man.
And that's a pond that still has ripples running across it.
There are men in Shelby County and women that, having shaken the hand, or I should say for this part of the world, shook the hand of one Boss Crump, gee, many Christmas, they get favors other people don't get just because they rubbed up against the old boy. No, that was machine politics at its very, very finest.
Or worse, depending on how one looks at things.
Well, when that mayor in Chicago was calling for Pointer, you knew that
That's true. Richard Daley called for.
He took a few pages out of Crump's playbook. I'll guarantee you that.
My gracious!
Well,
yeah.
Oh, it's such a fun time. I got to hear I got to hear right after Flimball did that below the ovary, which is kind of a cute line, you know. I mean, there's always.
It was so funny he had to work it twice.
I'm sure he probably almost said, "Did you hear what I said?" He was thinking about saying that.
I made a funny boy. That's a funny. That's the part where you laugh. Ha ha.
Yeah, I laugh, son. I don't say this stuff just to hear you stand there. But I got to hear him go on and on and on right after that concerning the feminazi confusion that now that women hadn't had babies, they were going to be vilified for not having babies. Therefore, their opinions didn't matter, and it showed the complete conflicted nature of the feminazi movement. And most of all, it was just him chasing his own fat arse down a hole. The guy's just talking in circles, and he is becoming less and less relevant with each and every day. Which leads me to another less and less relevant. Is it just me, or is Senator McCain looking less and less like a healthy, functioning individual? Isn't he, like, staring off into space in certain odd ways? Is any of that radioactive element 200 and whatever it might be? Maybe somebody's working a little bit of that into his oatmeal, do you think?
Oh, polonioats.
There you go. Agent Fred, we're kidding. Agent Fred, we're kidding.
No, he is. He's just a mess. And he's so eaten up with his own ego and his own ambitions that he doesn't realize that the Bush family is setting him up to just make an ass of him one more time and put his entire career to bed and giggle all the way back to Kenny Bunkport.
In the dictionary, next to the big letter C, there's a picture against the entry chump, and it's Mr. McKay.
Got it on a big old sweatshirt. No doubt about it. David, have a good weekend.
Oh, I shall, and enjoy the football this weekend.
Maybe.
There's going to be plenty available.
Yeah, I know. It's just a question of whether I get to watch it.
Talk to you later. All the best to them.
Thanks. Bye now.
See ya.
That's the week. Sorry about the couple of absences. Hope you enjoyed what we did have. I know I did. And I hope you'll be with us back again on Monday when we fire up this little exercise in free speech, inquiry, and above all, conversation. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, darling, talented wife, Agnes. It was engineered by John Fox. Announced by Brian Reznor. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org has his fundraiser going. Make the little red thermometer go up in a hurry, please. It's really a question of whether or not you get to hear this program. If this or any other show on the horn matters to you, got to do the right thing by Ben. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, who knows absolutely nothing about a UDP packet and hasn't called this program in a while, manages all of our IT issues. And, of course, the program always, and all the horn programs, come to you by virtue of the dedication of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, who are indeed building the American dream every day, and by supporting this network, helping us to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Democrats to challenge Bush's Iraq plan. Campaign photo shows Bush with Abramoff. U.S. hits Al-Qaeda in Somalia. U.S. submarine and Japanese ship collide. General says North Korea may conduct another nuclear test. Israeli Prime Minister arrives in China. Russians turn off Europe's oil supply. New video of Saddam's corpse on the internet. Governor seeks sweeping health system reforms. MSNBC wins the first presidential debate. Oil prices sag to about $54 a barrel. Zoo puts humans on display. Tony Blair says, I won't give up flights. DeMint endorses Romney for president. Sharpton considers running for president. And I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm Jeff Allen Wolf. More ahead. Up next.
Touch that you have.